a regular Shabbos he can give to everybody and anybody. What do you mean to a non-Jew? So it says, no, afilu katan, afilu isha. You can give a woman an aliyah, you can give a katan aliyah, avlomer chachamim, but the rabbis declared, isha letikur afatar v'fnei kovet atziba. That's not proper. So Taisus and Rosh Hashanah asks Akasha, Rabbi Kiva Eger refers you to that Taisus and Rosh Hashanah. Al-daf lam gimel amad aleph. The din is that Mishenim b'kuyi b'dovar in emotia sarabim yidei chayvosam. Mishnin, the end of the third parak Rosh Hashanah says that the Baal Tekeya has to be a m'kuyi b'dovar to be moitzi the tzibur. That the Baal Tekeya as an isha who's not obligated to hear tkiyas or a cherishay to the cotton, even though they're the best ones who know how to blow shofar in the community, they cannot serve as the Baal Tekeya. Because whoever's not m'kuyi b'dovar, you can't apply shemeir koina. Let's say a man goes away for the weekend and he's not home to say Shabbos for his family. So the wife cannot have her little boy, who's before Bar Mitzvah, her little child say the Kiddush and say the Havdalah to be Moitzi her, because the mother's a Bas Mitzvah and the child is before Bar Mitzvah. The women are just Mechuyev as the men in Kiddush. Most of the women are Mechuyev in Atarah to hear the Kiddush, and the son is only Mechuyev in the Rabbanim in Tam Chinuch. So he cannot be Moitzi the Rabbim Dechoyvos. So that's Taisus Kasha. How can the Braisa, how can this Tosefta say that you can give the Aliyah to a cotton, the cotton is not Mechuyi B'dovar? How could it be Motzi the Rabbi Midei Chayvos? So Taisus has a Chiddush that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says you have to be Mechuyi B'dovar to be Motzi the Rabbi Midei Chayvos in order to apply Shemei Kaina only applies to Dinim Deraisa, doesn't apply to Dinim Derabbanon. Kriyas HaTorah is only Derabbanon. So the Dinim Mechuyi B'dovar doesn't apply, yeah. So how come it applies to Kriyas HaMegillah? The Mishnah has a machlekes hatanan, whether by Megillah, whether a cotton can lay by Megillah or not. And the whole machlekes hatanan is only by a cotton. Rabbi Yudah machshir the cotton, that's on daf yud tes on the base. But by the cherish and the shoita, everybody agrees that since he's not b'chiv b'dover, he can't be motzi as a rabbin dechayvos. That's a shvera teretz that taste gives. Unless you say like this, unless you say that this is the machlokes hatanoim and you test on the base, you have to say something on this braisa. What happened to the din mechuyi b'dovar? So Tosfos says by mitzvahs de rabbanon, in order to enable you to say shemei koine, you don't have to be mechuyi b'dovar. That's what you mentioned yesterday. The Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his father, different teretz on Tosfos kasha, that when the balkori, I think we mentioned yesterday, no, when the balkori. When the Balkoi lanes and the whole Tzibur is Yotze, it's not based on Shemei Koine. If it was based on Shemei Koine, it would depend whom does he have in mind to be Moitzi. So let's say the Balkoi has a mind to be Moitzi, one person, and he has a mind not to be Moitzi, the other person. But Moshe Soloveitchik thought that whoever participates, whoever listens, pays attention, and understands a little bit in the Kriyas HaTorah. It's Yotze, the Kriyas HaTorah is not based on Shemei Koine. If it would have been based on Shemei Koine, so then you would consider it as if all the 10 people in the minyan were laid in Kriyas HaTorah. That's not what we want. We don't want all 10 people to lay. We want all the 10 people to be yotzei with one Kriyas HaTorah. So it's not really based on Shemei Koine. Shemei Koine, that the ones who pay attention is considered as if they said. See, by Kiddush and by Tkiyas Shofar, if everybody listens to my Kiddush, it's considered as if all the people said the Kiddush. Good. Everybody said their own Kaddish. And Tkiyas Shofar is considered as if everybody blew the shofar. Okay, that's great. But by Kriyas HaTorah, we don't want everybody to lay in their own Kriyas HaTorah. We want the whole Tzibur to participate in one big Talmud Torah Barabim, Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. So that's a svara that Achreidim have. The Kriyas HaTorah is not based on Shemei Koine. It's a word of Talmud Torah Barabim. So maybe that's the answer to Tosfos Kasha, that you don't require Mechuyi B'dover for that purpose. Whenever it's a din of Talmud Torah Barabbim, as long as the one who's leading has a Kiyum Talmud Torah, so altogether everybody has a Kiyum Talmud Torah Barabbim. Whatever the answer is going to be, what you're going to say, like Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik said, you're going to say, like Tosfos said, whatever you're going to say, it's going to be a problem with this Mishnah and you test on the dates. The Mishnah has a machlekes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yudah. We pass from like the Chachamim. The Cherish to the Kotten cannot be Motzi the Rabbi Midechai Vosim. Rabbi Yudah disagrees with our Psach. Rabbi Yudah's Machshe the Kotten. So why should we distinguish between Kriyas HaMegillah and Kriyas HaTorah? Unless one would want to say that Kriyas HaMegillah is on a slightly, let's say according to the Tosfos, one at a time. Perhaps you say according to Tosfos that Kriyas HaMegillah is closer to a Din Deraisa than Kriyas HaTorah is. What are you going to say? That Kriyas HaTorah is only a Chiyuv Derabbanan, as opposed to Mikra Megillah, which is a higher level of a din de rabbanon. How can you say that? What creates a megillah is midivrei kabbalah. Creates a Torah is not midivrei kabbalah. Creates a Torah is not midivrei kabbalah. There are dinim deraisa, there are dinim de rabbanon, and in between you have dinim de rabbanon. They have the approval of the bezon shalmaila that are recorded in kisvei hakodesh. So mikra megillah is a machlekes achrenim, whether creates a megillah has the status of divrei kabbalah or does not have that special status. Do you treat it like a the Gemara in Tainus has a klal divrei kabbalah divrei Torah damyam? With respect to certain dinim, we treat divrei kabbalah as if they would have been divrei Torah. The Gemara there is talking about a certain gzeira. But in Shulchan Aruch the Achrenim quoted the negiah to Sofik, let's say Sofik the Rabbanu Lekula and Sofik the Raisa Lechumra. So Rabbi Kivega quotes from the Turi Yevin Asvara to say that a Sofik divrei kabbalah would be Lechumra. Or let's say the negiah to the din that when a child reaches the age, when a boy reaches the age of 13 or a girl reaches the age of 12, so we usually assume that they have Shtei Sairis, and we usually assume that they're bar mitzvah. In order to be bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, one has to be higil lechlal shanim and to have simonim. The simonim meaning the Shtei Sairis. Just shanim alone does make you bar mitzvah. So the Gemara says that we have such a chazoka de Rava. Rava makes such a statement in the Gemara need in the end of Perek Bosim, that whoever is Higiel Echlal Shonim is most probably Higiel Echlal Simon. So then the Gemara says, really? So would you allow such a person to perform Chalitza? Let's say the brother died, there was a couple and the husband died a long time ago and he left no children and his wife needs Chalitza. So the Pasuk says that a Kotan cannot do Chalitza. You have to wait till the brother, till the surviving brother becomes a Bar Mitzvah. So let's say he just had his Bar Mitzvah yesterday, and that's it. So today you're going to rush and let him do the chalitza. So the Gemara says, not so fast. Or let's say a couple is getting divorced and you need Adam to sign on the get. So you'll take this kid who was just bar mitzvah yesterday, you'll have him sign on the get. So the Gemara says you shouldn't do that. And again, to signing on the get, and again, to performing chalitza, you should make sure, you should check to make sure that the boy has Shtei Sairis, and you should not rely on the chazaka de Rava. So there's a discussion in Magen Avraham in two different places, in Shulchan Aruch, regarding this Gemara Nida, that with respect to Chalitza and with respect to a Get, you're required to check for the Simonim, and you shouldn't rely on this Chazaka de Rava, that since he has Shonim, he probably has the Simonim. Did Gemara mean to say that it's a Chumra only in the area of Arayas to be Matir, the woman to remarry, a Shaila of Yivam Alashuk, or to say that the Eshuzish is permitted to remarry? By the Get, you need Eidus Lekima Dover, we're assuming the Eidus Lekima Dover. So to rely on the aiders of this cotton to say that he's kosher to be machshed again, so maybe minigeti in yonim avishus they were machmed. Maybe minigeti all other dinim deraisa we would be makel the same as dinim derabbanan. Maybe we should say no. This how many achrenim. So with respect to all dinim deraisa we're machmed. With respect to dinim derabbanan you can be makel to rely on the chazaka derove. With respect to dinim deraisa you should be machmed not to rely on the chazaka derove. So that's the shaila that the poskim discuss. Let's say kriyas parsha zocher, the kid is just going to be bar mitzvah, he's just barely going to make it, and he's going to lay. He's just bar mitzvah today, tomorrow, Friday, whatever, and he's going to lay parsha zocher. So if you should assume that parsha zocher is deraisa once a year, every year, like the Sefer Chinuch raises such a possibility, Sefer Chinuch is not sure whether parsha zocher is deraisa. The Gemara learns that from pasuk, parsha zocher is a din deraisa. He's not sure whether the obligation is once in a lifetime. Once every few years to make sure that you don't forget, and maybe it's taka once every year, as the Chachamim instituted it. Parsha Zocher that it should be the Shabbos before Purim. That's alpi pashta. That's clearly only midirabbanan. That's not benatar. That it should be the Shabbos before Purim. But the fact that it should be once a year, every year, so that the Sefer Achilich raises a possibility that maybe that's a din derais. Maybe that's taka included in the din derais of Zocher. So that's a shaila. One should assume that Parsha Zocher is derais once a year, every year. And you have to have a mechuyev bedover leining parsha zocher. So maybe the child who was just barely bar mitzvah, maybe we have to be choishish b'negiah to a din deraisa that he doesn't have shtei sairis. Maybe b'negiah to all dinim deraisa. That's how we're usually machmir. B'negiah to all dinim deraisa, we insist on bedikas hasimon. So here, getting back again over here, what are you going to say? That kriyas hamegillah is a divrei kabbalah? That's a machlekes sanachem. Let's say a person is misupik if he was yaitzin the megillah. He's not sure if he heard every word. He may have missed a word. So if it would be a din derabbanan, you would say sveika derabbanan lekula. If it would be considered like a din deraisa, divrei kabbalah, divrei Torah damin, you would say that sofik divrei kabbalah would be lechumra. That's how Rabbi Kibege quotes. So how do we take a treat mikra megillah? Do we treat it like divrei kabbalah or not? So this is a machlokes in Achrayim. The Minchas Aluzer, I think, quotes those Achrayim who want to say that Mikra Megillah is considered a Dibri Kabbalah. I think that Shabina Rav, in his Sefer, in his Chuvis, disagrees with the Minchas Aluzer. He thinks that it's not called Dibri Kabbalah, based on a Rashi and Tainus. In the end of Maseches Tainus, where Rashi writes that something is only considered Dibri Kabbalah if it's a Din D'Rabbanan that has the explicit approval of the Nevi'im Uksuvim, where it says Beloshim Tzivui. But Mikra Megillah doesn't really appear in the Ksuvim Beloshim Tzivui. The only source for the Mikra Megillah, it says Hayamim Wa'ela Nizkarim and Asim. So the word Nizkarim is a reference to the fact that you read the Megillah. The days are spoken of. Nizkarim in the Loshon HaTanach doesn't mean that the days are remembered, it rather means that the days are spoken of, the days are mentioned, the Haskir, are spoken about. But it doesn't say that you have to lay in the Megillah. It says that we read the Megillah. It's assumed that we read the Megillah. So there's a Rashi in the end of Tainus where Rashi comments that something only is elevated to the level of Dibri Kabbalah instead of just being considered a Din D'Rabbanan if it says explicitly that you're mechuyev to do it. So that's a shaila whether Mikra Megillah has the status of Dibri Kabbalah or not. Maybe it's only a plain D'Rabbanan. Some want to learn that gufa is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Because Tosfos on the Daf, on Yutes on the base, is bothered with the kasha that the katan shehigia lechit. Which katan are they arguing about? Are they arguing about a katan shehigia machlek Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Whether the katan can serve as the balkari? Are they arguing about a katan shelohigia lechinoch or about katan shehigia lechinoch? So if it's a katan shelohigia lechinoch, so Tosfos doesn't understand my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda allow the katan to serve as the balkari? He's not b'chuy bedover. Elamai the katan is higia lechinoch. So my time of the Rabbanon. If he's a gil chinuch, so he has a chiyuv midirabbanon mitam chinuch to hear mikra megillah, to lay the megillah. And the gdolim's chiyuv is also only midirabbanon. So everybody's on the same level of chiyuv. So why can't the katan be moitzi the rabbim midirachavosim if they're all on the same level of chiyuv? And Tosfos quotes a gemara in brachas that the child can recite the benching to be moitzi the father if the child is a gil chinuch and the father is only mechuyuv to bench midirabbanon. But the father only had a kazayis and not a kedei sviya. Bein mevorach liyaveh v'afal pishahu katan v'yotze b'brachos amuki lahosam, that the father only had kazayis of kedei tzadabi shura d'rabbonon v'otze katan shechiyuvah d'rabbonon amapiko abshaloyachal ala shura d'rabbonon. One is b'chayim d'rabbonon, can be mo'ti, another one is b'chayim d'rabbonon. It's on the same level of chiyuv. So Tez doesn't understand, what case do they have a machlekes reviewed in the Tanakhama? In this Mishnah Yutes of Meis. If he's talking about a katan shehigia lechinuch, so my time with the Rabbanon, why do we pass him that the Kotan cannot lay? He's Mechui B'dovim with the Rabbanon, one can't even see the others. They're all on the same level of Chiyuv. And if it's a Kotan, Shalohi Gia Lachinuch, is my time with the Rabbi Yehuda, he's not Mechui B'dovim. So Tosfos gives him a halach, Tosfos gives a suggestion. So others suggest, the other Gedolim suggest, that maybe this is the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, whether the Chiyuv Megillah is considered Dibri Kabbalah or considered a Din D'Rabbanan. The Chiyuv Chinuch we assume is only Midirabbanan. But if one should assume that the Chiyuv on the Gedolim to hear the Megillah is considered Midiri Kabbalah, so then the Chiyuv of the Gedolim is on a slightly higher level of obligation than the Chiyuv of the Kotan, which is only Mitam Chinuch. Just like one is Mechui B'dovim Midirabbanan cannot be Motzi, one is Mechui B'dovim Minatorah, so perhaps that's what the Tanakhama holds, that the Kotan who is only Mechui Mitam Chinuch Midirabbanan cannot be motzi the gedolim who are b'chuyev in mikra megillah midiri kabbalah. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he holds not that mikra megillah is not considered diri kabbalah. It's only considered it in the rabbanon. Everybody's on the same level of chiyuv. That's how some want to make a suggestion. Anyway, but getting back again, why do we assume over here that by mikra megillah you have to have a mechuyev bedover? By mikra megillah we're assuming you have to have a mechuyev bedover. By kriyas haTorah you don't need a mechuyev bedover. Why should there be a difference? Why shouldn't I say that? Unless he say within Tosis, that's going to be problematic. Unless he say that Tosis and Rosh Hashanah's claims are chiddush, the only require mechuyev bedover lehotzi asarabim v'dechoy vasim when the mitzvah is menater, when it's only a mitzvah midrabbanan, then that rule in the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah doesn't apply. So kriyas haTorah is only the rabbanan. Mikra Megillah is a higher level than kriyas haTorah. Kriyas haTorah was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Beis Din on the Rambam writes, and the Gemara says that it's also referred to by the pasuk in Chumash. Vayelchu shloshes yamim below mayim. The Gemara says they mayim ala Torah, that there was no learning for 3 days, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chachamim Shebedor instituted Kriyas HaTorah every Shein v'Chamish v'Shabbos Shelo Yelchus Shloshes Yamim V'lo Torah. I mean, but it doesn't really say Yelchus Shloshes Yamim V'lo Torah is an allusion that there was an issue. It doesn't say the solution of the issue, as opposed to Ayam V'Elin this Kor Menasim. It says at least that you do it. So there's room to argue the point and say that Mikra Megillah is on a higher level of obligation than Kriyas HaTorah. Mikra Megillah is Medirei Kabbalah, and Kriyas HaTorah is only Medirei Rabbanah. So that's what Tosfos seems to hold, that since Kriyas HaTorah is only the Rabbanan, so you don't need Mechuyev HaDover, as opposed to Mikra Megillah, which is Medirei Kabbalah. So you need Mechuyev HaDover. Wow. So you need Mechuyev HaDover.
Mikra Megillah is certainly from that time.
That's the shaila. If one should say like Ramosha Soloveitchik, let's say that the reason why the cotton can get an aliyah is because by Kriyas HaTorah it's not based on Shemei Koinah. So then we say over here, but by Mikra Megillah it is based on Shemei Koinah. Manishtana, why don't you say that by Mikra Megillah it's also based on Talmud Torah Barabi? The answer is because Kriyas HaMegillah you can lay in B'yochid also. The Gemara has the Machlokes Amoraim on Nafei Amud Aleph. Does Mikra Megillah always have to be Barabim? Do you always require Asorah? Or do you say no? Lemaisa, we know that we treat it as a Hidur. To lay the Megillah B'tzibur is considered more Mehudah than laying the Megillah B'yechidus. But we assume that if you lay the Megillah B'yechidus, you yotze. That's Rab's opinion. Megillah B'zmanikar Moisat Fila B'yochid. If you're laying the Megillah on Purim, it can be Yetzi even if you don't have a minion. Shaloi Bizman, or if you want to be Yetzi with Mikra Megillah not on Purim, how can you ever be Yetzi Mikra Megillah not on Purim? So the Gemara says on the Yom HaKnisa, Rashi says on the Yom HaKnisa, the opening Mishnah Megillah records a Takana, which the Gemara says was from the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the ones who were Masakin the original Takana Mikra Megillah, so they incorporated into their Takana an Inyan of Yom HaKnisa, that the Bnei HaKforim, the people who live in the villages on the outskirts of the big cities, can be Yotze Mikra Megillah not on Purim. They can be Yotze Mikra Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before Purim, in the event that Purim falls out on a day other than Monday or Thursday. So the Monday or Thursday before Purim, which is the Yom HaShuk, we would be Mekel for them. If they want to read the Megillah on Purim, that's great, that's better, that's preferable. But if they're looking for a Kula, so we could be Mekel for them. This is incorporated in the initial Takana, the Gemara says. Otherwise, ain't bez niyochel about the dim bez nechavera. Elin hegar lemena b'chokh mevimimim. So if the Anshei Knesset HaGdola instituted an absolute Takana, everybody has to be Yotze Mikra Megillah on Purim, so the later bezin can't do away with that Takana. So it must be, the Gemara assumes, that this was incorporated in the initial Takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, that the Bnei HaKforim can have a cool if they want to. They can be Yotze the Mikra Megillah on the Shein HaMishi before. The Gemara says that after the Churban, the accepted opinion is that after the Churban by Sheni, we no longer permit this Kula. Because we don't have any central Bezdin in Eretz Israel, and the people are going to get confused. They're going to think that a month after Mikra Megillah is Pesach, so they're going to think, oh, we read the Megillah, Sheni Mahamishi before, we're talking about Balabatim, farmers. They live on the outskirts of villages, they don't live in the city. So they're going to think, they're going to start counting a month after Mikra Megillah. They're going to forget that they read the Megillah Sheni Mechamishi a couple of days before Purim, not on Purim proper. So the Gemara says, after the Churban Abayis, we don't allow this Kula anymore. So that's why we never heard of it, Bizman Hazeh. But there is such a Kula. So the Gemara says on Heyam et Aleph, Rav and Rav Asi both say that in order for the Bnei HaKforim to be out to the Mikra Megillah Shaloi Bizmano, to employ this Heta, this Kula, that you can be out to Kriyas HaMegillah not on Purim, the Gemara says, as far as Mishnah v'Simcha and Shalach Manas, the Bnei HaKforim have to do all of these mitzvahs on Purim, not on the Yom HaKnisa. The Gemara says the Matanis Lev Yainim, that's connected with the Mikra Megillah. Somehow the Gemara says, Einem Shalanim Nesuas LeMikra Megillah. So whenever you lay in the Megillah, that's the day on which you take care of the Matanis Lev Yainim. But the Shalach Manas with the Sudas Purim, that has to be with the Alanisim, reciting of Alanisim, is not on the Yom HaKnisa. You only say Alanisim on the day of Purim itself, not on the Yom HaKnisa. Yom HaKnisa is just the day on which we are makel to allow people to be Yotze Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara says on Heyam et Aleph, when the Bnei HaKforim want to be Yotze Mikra Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa, they must have a minion. Without a minion, they cannot lay in Mikra Megillah. What about Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim proper? So that's a machlekes Rav and Rav Asi. So Rav says, Megillah Bizman, if you're laying on Purim, there's no need for a minyan. Rav Ashi disagrees and says that you do need a minyan. Then the Gemara says that once an issue came up, normally Rav went to shul. Normally there was no shaila. On one occasion, there was a case where Rav couldn't go to shul for some reason or another. And then there would have been the easiest solution to the problem would have been that he should have heard the Megillah b'Yechidus on Purim. So the Gemara says, even though his opinion is that you can't hear the Megillah b'Zmana b'Yechidus without a minyan, but he was choshish for the Shitas Rav Asi, his Talmud, and he required, he was machmer al atzma to require a minyan. So that's what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that a person should always try to be machmer to have Mikra Megillah, even b'Zmana. We don't have any Shulei b'Zmana. You should try to have the Mikra Megillah b'Zmana b'Asar. And this Gemara, there's a famous Machlekes Tosfos with the Balamor, with the Ramban, Machlekes Harishonim. What is the whole discussion over here? The Megillah Shaloi Bizmana needs Asara, for sure. And the whole Machlekes of Abba Rav Asi is whether Megillah Bizmana needs Asara or not. So the Balamor asked the Kasha, how could there be a Machlekes whether Megillah Bizmana needs Asara and Shaloi Bizmana? Everybody agrees that it needs Asara. There's a Mishnah later that lists off all the things that need a minion. It says Kriyas HaTorah and Ahav Torah and Baruch and Kaddish and Kedusha and Duchening and Chazaras HaShas lists off all the things that need a minyan, and it says the minyan has to consist of Asar Gedolim B'nei Bris to the exclusion of women and to the exclusion of Avodim and Ketanim and so on. So it never mentions Mikra Megillah. Why doesn't it say Mikra Megillah? Either Shaloi Bizmana or Bizmana. It doesn't say a word. So the Balamor says Araya that the whole discussion on Daf Hei is all a Chatchilas. Nobody says that it's Me'akeh B'diyev. The Mishnah later that says you can only do duchening and kriyas haTorah and so on with a minyan, that's likuva. And if you don't have the minyan, you just don't do it. You don't have the duchening, period. And this din over here, this gemara is all, the whole story is just lachatchila. It's nothing likuva. And that's where the Ramban disagrees with the Balamor. The Ramban learns like the Balei HaTosfos know that the discussion on Daf Hei Amud Aleph is likuva. It's not just lachatchila. It's talking likuva b'diyevid. If you don't, why doesn't the Mishnah mention it? So Ramban says, no, it's not ain't a doyma to the things in the Mishnah. The cases in the Mishnah are talking about something which is a chayvus hatzibur. There is no chayvus hayochid to hear kriyas haTorah. There is no chayvus hayochid to have duchening or to have kaddish gedusha baruch. The whole chayv is only a chayvus hatzibur. As opposed to here, mikra megillah, the Gemara says every single individual is hakol chayovim in mikra megillah. Every individual person is included in mikra megillah. The only thing is that the Gemara has a machleg zerava rabasi. Maybe the only way for you to fulfill your mitzvah, Mikra Megillah, is if you're going to lay in it b'tzibur. So that's a din in the Kiyama mitzvah. It could be that in the Kiyama mitzvah you have to have a minyan. But that Mishnah is only listing off things where the whole chiyuv is a chayvus hatzibur. That's the Melchames that the Mishnah Berurah quotes to indicate that the chiyuv kriyas haTorah is not a chayvus hayochid. It's only a chayvus hatzibur. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to be fond of telling over that his two grandfathers had an argument about this. The Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik was of the opinion that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaYochid. So every so often when he would be traveling by train to participate in a meeting of the Agudas Rabbanim in Poland, so sometimes he would miss Kriyas HaTorah on a Monday or Thursday morning, so he would always insist on putting together a minyan in the afternoon whenever he would arrive at his destination. He would put together a minyan and they would lay in Kriyas HaTorah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to do also. Sometimes he would come into the yeshiva on Monday or Thursday morning, so he would always ask at the end of Shir, is there anybody who missed Kriyas HaTorah this morning? So there would always be enough people, there would always be more than a minyan who missed Kriyas HaTorah, and then he would lay in Kriyas HaTorah afterwards. He said that's what his grandfather Rav Chaim did. So he said as a little boy, as a child, he remembers that on one occasion he was going to visit Rav Chaim, his grandfather. He was raised mainly by the other grandfather, by his mother's father, Rav Elia Prusian. And in the last year and a half of Rav Chaim's life, they were together. But in his early years, he only saw Rav Chaim a few times. So on one of the occasions when he was going to visit Rav Chaim, so the other grandfather said that Yezede Rav Chaim holds that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaTzibur, show him the Ramban. Ramban says beferish that it's not so. So he said he showed it to his grandfather Rav Chaim, and then his grandfather reinterpreted the Ramban and came out that it was a riot to him. Instead of being a Tiyufta, it came out that it was a riot. I don't know how it's shaykh to reinterpret. But then he says he came back to the other grandfather later, and he came back home, and he showed him the way the Zeder Rav Chaim interpreted. So see, he was very upset. Why he reinterpreted the Ramban? That's not what it says. The Mishnah Berurah quotes like that. The Ramban and the Melchames on Daf Hei Amud Aleph says, I'll be pashtus, that Kriyas HaTorah is only a Chayvus HaTzibur, and Mikra Megillah is not so. Mikra Megillah is a Chayvus HaYochid, which according to some opinions in the Gemara can only be fulfilled if you lay in it with Tzibur. Yeah. So that's the Shaila. Maybe there's a major difference between Kriyas HaTorah and Mikra Megillah. Kriyas HaTorah is only a takana b'tzibur. You don't have kriyas ha-Torah b'yachid. So there you can say it's not based on Shemei Kaina. There is based on Talmud Torah b'tzibur, as opposed to Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah doesn't necessarily have to be b'tzibur. That's the way we pass in la'alocha like Rav. L'chatchila should be b'tzibur. Rav himself was machma like Rav Asi. Mestama Rav would agree, even without Rav Asi holds liikuvah. Mestama Rav, the way Tesis learns that machlekes Rav Rav Asi is b'di'evid, machlekes on the level of b'di'evid. So b'di'evid Rav holds the yotze without a minyan, but everybody agrees that it's preferable to have a minyan. Take for example the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim. That you only say the bracha haravis rivenu, the bracha after the mikra megillah, you only say that bracha b'tzibur. If you lay in kriyas ha-megillah less than a minyan, you don't say haravis rivenu. That's what the Rishonim understood in the Yerushalm. The Birag Ro disagrees. He says there is no such Yerushalm. He says the Yerushalm is talking about kriyas ha-Torah, that you only say hashanasul lana teresem zchayolam nata b'sechena, the bracha shalachreho, after an aliyah, if you lay in kriyas ha-Torah b'tzibur. But if a person finishes learning for the day and he goes to sleep, so before he says Kriya Shema Lamita, he doesn't say Hashem Asal Lana Teres Emes. There's only a bracha shalachareha by Kriya Sater. But Mikra Megillah, the Gro holds that you have the bracha, Rabbis Rivenu, even Biyachid. But most of the later Sifri Psak don't quote this Bir Agro. Most assume La Locha, like the Ramah, like the Rishonim that the Ramah is quoting, that you don't recite Rabbis Rivenu unless you have a minion. And that's what the Ramah quotes in another place. How much of a minyan do you have to have? So then he quotes that there's a discussion in Rishonim whether a minyan of 10 women is acceptable or not. So some Rishonim say b'feirush that it is good, and others say b'feirush that it's no good. Whether it's considered asura, whether the minyan is like a minyan for kriyas ha-Torah, that women are not included. That's how Taisus Shita is, Taisus and the Rosh. The Balei HaTaisim Brachas on Daf Mem Hei. Well, no, the Urzurur writes over here, no, it's a different kind of asura. It's asura for Pirsumi Nisa. So for Pirsumi Nisa, even 10 women would also be good. Or 5 men and 5 women would also be good. But that's a machlekes. So the Ramah recommends you should be machmer on that you should only say Harabis Rivenu after the Mikra Megillah if you have the asura, like asura Anoshim, if you have 10 men, not if you have less than 10 men. So maybe that's the difference over here. Even if one should assume that by Kriyas HaTorah, the fact that the Tzibur is Yotze is not based on Shamei Kaina, it's rather based on the Inyan of Talmud Torah Barabim, maybe that's because Kriyas HaTorah, the Iker Takana, was a Chovas HaTzibur. To have Talmud Torah B'tzibur. So it's not based on Shamei Kaina, as if each and every person laying down his own. You don't want that. You want that there should be a Kiyum of Talmud Torah B'tzibur. Mashenike Mamikra Megillah, Mikra Din. You can have Mikra Megillah B'yachid. If you have a tzibur, it's an enhancement of the mitzvah. Fine. It's a heather in the mitzvah, and you'll add on the bracha afterwards, Harabas Rivenu. Fine. It'll certainly enhance the mitzvah. But basically, the chi of Mikra Megillah is even B'yachid. So if you have a group of people listening to Mikra Megillah, that has to be based on Shemei Kaina. Maybe that's the distinction. The Gemara raises the issue regarding Shemei Kaina in the second parak of Megillah, that the Mishnah says, "Aloi Shoshama Ashuris Yotza." If a person doesn't understand Hebrew, he only understands a Goyish language, Laz, and they read the Megillah in Hebrew, in the original Hebrew, so the Mishnah says that they're Yotze. "Aloi Shoshama Ashuris Yotza." That's the first Mishnah in the second parak, Yud Zayin Amid Aleph. So the Gemara asks on Yud Ches Amid Aleph, "How are you Yotze?" "V'hola Yoda my Kamri." But he doesn't understand what they're reading. So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara's Kasha is, if he doesn't understand what they're reading, so it's not Shamea Kaina. Kriyas HaMegillah has to be based on Shamea Kaina, and Shamea means, number one, that you hear. If the person is deaf, he's not Shamea. Number two, that he understands. If he doesn't understand, Hulo Shamea. It's not called Shamea unless he hears and he understands. So this is the Gemara's Kasha. So to this, the Gemara says, well, how are we? There's something wrong with the Girsa here. You look in the Rabbeinu Hanan, he has a slightly different girsa, and our Gemara doesn't read straight. So the Gemara says, well, if you'll consider that a problem, that if you don't understand, it's not called Shemei Kaina, so how is anybody? Otto Anan, how are we Yotze? Forget about the Loes. We do understand Hebrew. How are we Yotze? But there's a certain phrase in the Megillah, namely, Hoachash Teron and B'nei HaRamochim. We don't know exactly what that's referring to. Some kind of an animal. So, or it's some kind of an appointed person. I don't know. So the Gemara says, we're not sure either what the word means. Liyadina, how do we know what that word means? So the Gemara says, so we assume everybody's yotzei, even though they don't know what that phrase means. So who adinami the ami haaretz, or the lowest who doesn't understand any Hebrew at all, is also yotzei. So what was the answer of the Gemara? So in Brachas, in the beginning, the first daf in Shlosha Shachlu, this is a machlekes between Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi understands this Gemara Megillah to imply that for the purpose of Shemer Kain, all you need is Shmiya, that he should hear the words, and he doesn't have to understand. It's not necessary to understand the meaning of the words. He has to understand Derech Klal, what's going on. Let's say when they recite Kiddush on Leil Shabbos, they know that Kiddush is some kind of a declaration about Shabbos. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave a Shabbos, but he does know what each and every word means. He knows Derech Klal, that Kiddush is about the sanctity of Shabbos. He knows Havdalah is about Havdalah, okay. Bichas HaMazon is about food. He knows the general theme, but he doesn't know what the words mean. So Rashi says that that's good, and Rashi says he got it from this Gemara. The Gemara says, Mitzvus Kriya Pesumi Misa. He's paying attention, he says Shemei Kain, even though he doesn't know exactly what every word means. So that's fine. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah quotes those who are machma like Tosfos, that it's not called Shemei Kain and Kol HaTorah Kula, it's not called Shemei Kain unless the person both hears the words that are, the sounds that are coming out. Let's say by Tkiyah Shofar there are no words. Unless he hears the sound, and number two, that he understands what's being said. But if he doesn't understand, that's not good. It's a lack in Shemaya. And it's a special cool over here by Kriyas HaMegillah that we allow Shemaya Koina despite the fact that the people don't understand. So that's not a problem. What is that all about? Why is it a Yaitzim and Aklal here? Why do we allow Shemaya Koina here by Mikra Megillah even though they don't understand? That's the problem. The Gemara says, Mitzvah's Kriya Pesumi Nisa. The Mitzvah's Kriya sounds a little bit, oh, it's like Kriya Satera. It's like Kriya Satera, so it doesn't have to be based on Shemaya Koina. Sounds a little bit that's what the Gemara is driving at. But how can that be, that it's not based on Shemaya Koina? So what do you do with the Machlekes HaTanoim by the Kotten? Whether the Kotten can lay on that. So the premise of the whole discussion, Al Pi Pashtus, is that you do need a Mechuy B'Dovet, to Motzi HaSarabi M'Dechei Vos. It's a problem exactly, what's going on over here. The Mishnah says on Chof HaMed Aleph that as far as the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom, L'chadchila, the proper thing is you shouldn't lay in until after Hanetzach Hama, until after sunrise. But for the Eved, if a person will lay in the Mikra Megillah, that's if some people have to run to work. So, Bid the Eved, or B'Shas HaTchak, the Eved Dami, you can hear the Megillah after Alois HaShachah. But L'chadchila, it's not proper to hear the Megillah until after Hanetzach Hama. That's true with respect to all of the dinim that require Bayom. A Bris Milah should only be done Bayom. All the things that have to be done by Yom is L'chadchila should not be done until after Hanetzach Hama. The Gemara says, Mishnah says, Koramosu l'loazos balaz. The same Mishnah on Yud Zayin and Aleph says, if the Megillah, the Gemara explains like that, if the Megillah is written belaz, then people who understand that language can be yotze. If the Megillah is written beloshen ashuris, then even a lois who doesn't understand Hebrew at all can also be yotze. Alois shesham ashuris yotze. But if the Megillah is written belaz, only those people who understand that laz would be yotze. Whoever doesn't understand would not be yotze. That's how the Gemara spells it out on the next daf. Koramoso giftus legiftim and ibris leilmin and modis lemadim and so on. Only those who understand it. That's a shaila that the Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuva Saran who poses a question, why do we continue the practice of our ancestors for so many centuries to read the Megillah in the original Hebrew? In every generation there are people who don't understand the original Hebrew, so why doesn't, wouldn't it make better sense to make an English translation in America, to make a French translation in France, to make a Spanish translation in South America and so on, so everyone will be able to understand the Mikra Megillah? Why should you rely on the Kula of Loish Hashem Ashuris Yotze, which the Gemara really had difficulty with? The Gemara just touched it up. The Gemara said, despite the fact that you don't understand, you Yotze anyway. But this for sure is good. Karamosa Lalozas Bala. So why don't we translate it in every generation in the different languages? How you write it, so the Shulchan Aruch says it has to be written in Ksav Ashuris transliterated. Yeah, you can't write it in English letters. It has to be written suva, right? It has to be written on klaf with the O. And in Oisias of Ksav Ashuris, it has to be Guf and Shalonu, a Hebrew alphabet, but in English words. Yeah. Maybe it's easier for the Balkari to read already in the Hebrew. It's easier for the Balkari, but the shot is the Tziba won't understand. So that was the kasha that the Tshuva Sarani asked. Won't we accomplish more Pirsumi Nisa? Unless the answer is that we're not so sure how to translate every pasuk. There are sfeikas regarding the Pirush Amilas on Psukim. Some of them, the Gemara says, one pasuk where we taka don't know how to translate. We taka don't know how to translate. So that's what the Ran and the Tshuva raises the Shaila. What if a person doesn't understand Hebrew, but he understands French and Spanish? And he hears half of the Megillah in French and half of the Megillah in Spanish. It's a Yotze. There are two minyanim. There's one minyan where they're learning from a French Megillah, there's one minyan where they're learning from a Spanish Megillah. He understands both languages. So can he be Yotze, the first half of the Megillah in French, and the second half of the Megillah in Spanish? Or you have a Megillah itself which is written, Megillah Ksuv B'Shtei Lashonos. Is it good if it's written in two languages? So there's a possibility that it's not been starred. That's a machloikas, the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchas Gerushin. If you have a get that's written Mishtei Lashonos, is there a tzirif from one language to the other? So there are two girsas in the Tosefta and Gittin. The Rambam has one girsa and the Ravid has another girsa. The Ravid says he must have had the wrong girsa in the Tosefta. It's a shaila on a level of a derais. Is there a hemsha from one language to the other? If there's no hemshech, it comes out, you have a half a get ahin and a half a get aher. Let's say we always write gittin, so if the husband or the wife have a goyisha name, so we have to write, there's a takonas from Gamliel that says in the Mishnah, you have to write all of the names and all the nicknames. So we a lot of times have great difficulty transliterating the goyisha names into Hebrew. Theodore, there is no th. There is no TH sound in Hebrew. So how do you spell a lot of the Goyisha names is problematic. So what's the problem? One should just write a get in Hebrew or Aramaic. And then when it comes to the name, you write the name in English letters, or whatever letters it is, Arabic letters, whatever kind of a name the person has. So the answer is that we're choshish for that opinion in the Rishonim that it's no good. So here by Mikra Megillah also we're machma like that. When it comes to davening, we're mekel. Let's say a person in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei wants to add on Tachnunim. In the middle of Shmark Aleinu, at the end of the Shmoneh Esrei, whatever, so you can add on Tachnunim in Yiddish, in English, in other languages also. How does it fit into the middle? Isn't it in the Hefsek? The answer is no. Davening is only the Rabbanon. So with respect to the topic of davening, we assume that there is a Hemshech, there is a continuation, there is a connection between the Hebrew original text with the English that you're adding on. That's not considered a Hefsek. But when you get to Dinam Deraisim by Mikra Megillah also, where Machmer to treat it as if it's Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Torah Damyon, so they were Machmer for those opinions that two different languages don't constitute a Hemshech, and you can't be Yotze. So that's one of the reasons that the Ran writes. We're not so sure how to translate all the words in the Megillah, so that's why we don't do it in translation. Number two, Hashtaran and Bnei HaRamachim, we won't know how to translate. So then it's going to be a Megillah Ksuv B'Shtei Lashonos, so that's questionable whether that's good. Chava quotes that. And then Iran has a third point in his tshuva. He says, look, we've been doing it like this for centuries, so let's leave it like that. And if we have old traditions, how to do things, so we don't shake up the traditions, even if we think that we discovered America. Even if we think we have a tremendous takana that's going to save the whole world, we don't have to rush to change everything. On the first daf in the Mesichta, the Mishnah with the Gemara talk about the takana of laning on the Yom HaKnisa. This kula we mentioned before only applied Mizman Bayisheni. After the Churban HaBayis, the Gemara says it no longer applies. And Mizman Bayisheni, who did it apply to? It only applied to those people who didn't live in the Ayaris HaMakof Eschoim HaMosh Yeshua Ben Nun or in the Ayaris. There are Kforim and Ayaris Gedolos and Ayaris HaMakov Eschoimim and Moshe Shubanun. So the Kvarim do not have the status of an ear. How do you determine what is an ear and what is a Kvar? So there are dinim deraisa that depend on the ear. There's a din of ear hanidachas. Ear hanidachas is only in Eretz Yisrael. But there is a din of ir anidachas. It only applies if the majority of the population of the city in Eretz Yisrael worship Avodah Zarah. So how do you determine whether you have the majority of the population? So you have to determine where are the city limits, how far does the ir go. There are dinim derabbanan that depend on ir. The dinim of Tchumen, the whole din of Tchumen we assume is only the Rabbanan. The Ramah passes all of Tchumen is only the Rabbanan. So part of the din of Tchumen is that you mahalach the whole year is kedalat amis dam, and then you have alpayim amah and michutz l'year. So how do you know how far the city limits go? So the rules and regulations in the Mishnah is in Erevin. Then you have a din of year. Then you get to the Ori Miklot. The Ori Miklot, I call it, if the Ritzayach, after you've designated your six or your nine Ori Miklot, so the Ori Miklot are collate. Not only if the Ritzayach is in the Ir Miklot, if it's Tach HaTchum also. So where is the Ir and where is the Tchum? So you have to be koveya how far out do the city limits go. Then there's another din deraisa that you're not. It says in the Chumash, if you have Tzaraz Batim, maybe the Gemara says, Lahoyev Elohias Elias, V'lov Nichtav Rosh V'Kabos Kar. One Tana says there never was such a thing, there never will be. Okay. But theoretically, if there ever should be a Bayis HaManuga, so the Chumash says, you have to take out the Evan HaManuga V'Hotzi Al Michutz Lo'ir. And the Rash quotes on Mishnayis in the Goyim that Hotzi Al Michutz Lo'ir is not the same as a Metzora who's only Mishtaleh Chutz Lo'ir as HaMakovas Chomash U'Shubenu. No, Evan HaManuga has to be moved from all Ayoris in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not a Mukav Chayma. So you have to determine what has the status of an ear. How do you determine whether something has the status of an ear? B'negeh to dinam deraisa, or b'negeh to dinam derabbana. So there is a Gemara in the first Perek in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara talks about ear and idachas, that you have to have a minimum population and a maximum population. B'negeh to ear and idachas, there's a maximum. Because the Gemara darshins, kiimatsu b'kirbucha, as it's saying. B'achas arecha, the Gemara says, ear v'loy krach. An ear means a city as opposed to a metropolis. If it's a metropolis, then you don't destroy a whole metropolis. So in Hilchos Ir Nidachas, there's a maximum. There's a maximum limit. If you have too great a population, then it doesn't have a din of Ir Nidachas. So that din, Mistama, wouldn't apply b'negeah to all the other din. Let's say the Ori Miklot get too big. So it doesn't have the din of Ori Miklot. Why not? There's a din, you shouldn't allow the Ori Miklot to become too big because there's going to be too much traffic going on over there. And the Goel Adam may sneak his way into the city and may attempt to kill the Horig Bishgoga. So that's a din l'chatchila, but it doesn't cancel the din of the year. But there is a din, the minimum population. There is a machlekes hatanoim. What is the minimum population? So the Ravid in Hilchas Megillah quotes that Gemara by Yerani Dachas with respect to this din. That the Bnei HaKvarim HaMakdimim L'yoyim HaKnisa, we give them a kula that they can lay in the Megillah the Monday or Thursday before Purim. Purim is really on Yudalit or Tezvot, whatever it is, but we give them a kula that they can lay in the Megillah before. So how do you determine whether they're Bnei HaKforim or not? So he says, it means that they live Michutz L'Tchum and they're not part of a city which has the status of an ear. An ear has to have this minimum population of 100, as it says in the first Perek in Sanhedrin. And then the Mishnah is both in Erevin and in Erechin, where the Mishnah says the same thing. In Erevin it's Benegeh to Tchumen, and in Erechin it's been to get to Ayaris HaMakafis Chom and Mimosu Shubenun if you sell a bayis bebat the Ori Chayma. So it has a different din when it gets to Gula's Batim, when it gets to having the right to buy it back, to force the Lekeach to sell it back to the Moicher. So the dinim are different. So how do you determine whether it has a din of an ear? It has to be Mukav Chayma Asu Shubenun, but if it's a field that's Mukav Chayma, the din doesn't apply. It has to be an ear on Mukav Chayma. And you sold a house in the city, not you sold a lot. So the bias, the Ayoras HaMakovas Chama, how do you determine if it's an ear? So the Mishnah there, the Sugi doesn't say anything about a minimum population. That's only in the first Perek in Sanhedrin, but the Ravid applies it to all of the cases of ear. The Ravid in Hilchas Megillah. There the Mishnah is both in Erevin and in Erechin speak about the requirement that in order to constitute an ear, you have to have a minimum of two chatzeres. No, the minimum of two chatzeres, and each chatzer has to have a minimum of two batim in it. You have to have two chatzeres, and each chatzer has to have a minimum of two batim. That's what Tosfos says. And how close do the chatzeres have to be? You can have one chatzer in New York and one chatzer in California. That makes the whole United States into an ear. There has to be some maximum distance between the two. If it's too far apart, they're not mitzarfim yachad. So he says, unless you say the chatzeros have to be touching each other, not mistabed, that they have to be contiguous. And if they're not contiguous, it doesn't have the status of an ear. Tosfos says, mistabed, the chatzeros have to be within shivim amah v'shiraim of each other. They have to be close to each other based on that shear that appears in the Mishnah, and that's a shear deraisa. That's a shear deraisa. That if the two chatzeros are close to each other. So that's what l'chayr over here, when you get to determining whether the Bnei HaKfarim have this heter or not, that they have the kulah, that they have the right to be yotzei mikra megillah, shaloi bizmanoi. So that the Ravid writes, that depends on whether they're living in the city or they're not living in the city. So you have to determine what's called the city based on the rules and regulations of Ari Miklot and the Sugis and Erevin. Compare, put together the dinim of Ir with respect to Ari Miklot and Ir with respect to Tchumen. The Gemara says that there are certain kulas that you happen to get to Tchumen which don't apply to Ari Miklot. Ari Miklot, you have strict dinim. And in Tchumen, you're a little bit bakel because we assume Tchumen is only the Rabbanah. It's not their Isa, but there are dinim that they have in common to determine what constitutes an ear. So all of those rules and regulations apply over here to the Bnei HaKforim Ho Magdimim Liyoy Maknisim. What's the halacha that in Ayoras Hamkav V'schomim Yosu Shub and Nun they celebrate Purim on one day and the other people celebrate Purim on the other day? So it's very strange. Which day is the real Purim? So the Gemara says in the first parak, Lesa Shal Zebo Zeb Shal Zebo Zeb, that the people who live in Yerushalayim are not permitted to have Hesped V'tainis on Yud-Dalid either, and the people who live in New York are not permitted to have Hesped V'tainis on Tezvav either. Everybody's also be Hesped V'tainis on both days, both on Yud-Dalid and on Tezvav. Lesa Shal Zeba Zeva Shal Zeba Zeva, you're also be Hesped V'tainis on both days. The only difference between the Bnei Ho'ayoras Hamakovas Chomos Yishu Benun, the Krachim, and the Ayoris Gedolos, is which day do you fulfill the other mitzvah sayom? Which day do you read the Megillah? And which day do you have the Suda Sperm? Which day do you have the Shalach Manas? But basically, both days are Rasa Behesped V'tainas. What is that all about, that both days are Rasa Behesped V'tainas? So that you thought that the Pshat is that you really have 2 days Purim. We make a mistake when we think that Purim is only one day, and for Yerushalayim it's the 15th, and for the rest of the world it's the 14th. He said, no, they're really 2 days. 2 days Purim. Take, for example, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov that has Hayom Halach Achar HaLaila. Rosh Hashanah is for 24 hours, is Rosh Hashanah. You can't blow Shofar BaLaila. Sukkos is the whole Yom Tov of Sukkos. You can't be Yotzei the Dalet Min of BaLaila, has to be Davke Bayom. Or the Seder, Matzah, Morah, Abrikosis, it has to be Davke BaLaila, not Bayom. Aye, but the morning of Pesach is also Pesach. Aye, but the night of Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Hashanah. The answer is, yeah, Rosh Hashanah is for a whole day, and Pesach is for a whole 7 days, but you can't have the Seder on the fifth night of Pesach. It has to be the first night of Pesach. So here also, you have 2 days Purim, and the whole world, it's really 2 days Purim. And that's why there's an Issa Hesped V'tainas on both days, because they're on Misakim both days. As Purim, the only thing is, which of the both days is the correct month to fulfill the mitzvah Sayyim? So that's what they made Chilukim. That if you live in Ayoras Hamakavas Chom Mos Yishu Benun, so they should fulfill the mitzvah Sayyim on Tezvav. And if you live in the other Ayoras Gedolos, then they should fulfill the mitzvah on Yudalit. But it's not that it's only one day Purim. That's why there's a question regarding Alanisim. Reciting Alanisim, is that one of the mitzvahs Hayyim? That just like you have to have Sudas Purim, you have to have Shalach Manas, and you have to have Mikra Megillah. So that you have to recite Alanisim. Alanisim should only be recited on that day of the 2 days on which you fulfill the mitzvahs. But he say, no, Alanisim is a regular din, that on a Shabbos and on a Yom Tov and on a Rosh Chodesh and a Chol HaMoed, you have to mention in the davening, in the benching, you have to mention what the Kedushas Hayom is, you have to mention what the special status of the day is. So if today is Purim, so you got to make mention of that in the davening. It's not because it's a new special Takanas Chachamim as part of the mitzvah of Purim, part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Purim is to mention Alanis. No, it's the regular din, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So Gemara Darshan and Brachas, Daf Mem, B'chol Yom Yom Tein L'Mein B'choisim Shal Yom. You should mention the main Amor. If you say like that, then what you're saying is that you should really say Alanis and Mabot Deis Purim, on Yud Dalet and on Tezvav. There is such an opinion in Achrayim that both days you should say Alanis. The Minkatcha writes that that was his personal practice. He didn't want it to drei the oilom. So he writes, he didn't tell a chazan to say, he didn't tell a balabatim to say, but he writes in his sefer that that was his practice. It says in Shulchan Aruch, b'diyeved, if a person said al anisim an tezvav, let's say a guy lives in New York, he says al anisim an tezvav. A guy lives in Yerushalayim, he says al anisim an yudalet. So b'diyeved, you don't tell him he has to daven over again. For sure, it's not a hefsek. The only question is, maybe lechatchila, we should encourage everybody to say al anisim on both days, in the benching and the davening. So that's not the generally accepted opinion. We generally assume that al anisim on Chanukah and Purim is not included in that din of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom B'chol Yom Yom Teilam Ein B'chayis of Shal Yom. There's nothing unique. Aliba Demis, there's nothing different Biatzmuso with Chanukah and Purim from the rest of the day. Shabbos and Yontif and Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, there's a difference on the level of the Raisa. The Chumash singles out these days as special days. So that falls under the heading of B'chol Yom V'yom Baruch Hashem Yom Yom B'chol Yom V'yom Teilam Ein B'chayis of Shal Yom. In the Tefillah of the Shmon Esrei, as well as in the Birchas HaMazon, you have to mention the Haskoras Kedushas Hayom. But in Chanukah and Purim, there is no Kedushas Hayom. On the level of the Raisa, there's no difference. Mayom Yomayim, it's the same as any other day. It's just on the level of the Rabbanon, they singled out these special days and made a Takana. So on the level of Rabbanon, it doesn't fall under the category of B'chol Yom Yom Teilam Ein B'chayis of Shal Yom. So the only reason why we say Al HaNisim is because of a Takanas Chachamim. To give halal v'haydoya. That's the Lashon HaGemara, that's the Lashon HaBraisa in Masechah Shabbos. It says that when Nes Chanukah occurs, at the Chachamim Institute, it is a yontif to be madlik neiris, and to say halal v'haydoya, to say halal, and to say al anisim. So it's a special takana. So on Purim also we assume that the reciting of al anisim is a special takana. It's not that it falls under the category of Mi'ein HaMoir. There is no Mi'ein HaMoir. It's not a day that's different from the other days. That's why it's highly questionable. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Me'iri. Me'iri always comes up with original Hanhogas. Me'iri lived in Provence, so they had everything was very different there. They had different traditions floating around in the air. So the Me'iri quotes a Gemara in Erevin on Daf Mem and Veis, but the Gemara says that strictly speaking, Shechyono Omra Filo Bashuk, that the Brach of Shechyono on Yontif, you can say while you're walking in the street, that doesn't really have to be recited in the Kiddush at the conclusion of the Kiddush Alayayin. If you save up the Shechyono, you say on Yom Kippur we don't have any Kiddush, and you don't say Shechyono Alayayin, because what are you going to do with the wine? Who's going to drink the wine? If you give it to a little child to drink, so the Gemara says, it'll be nafik b'nei churba, the child may remember later after his bar mitzvah that as a child the rabbi always gave him a sip of wine on little Yom Kippur, so he'll think he should still drink the wine on Yom Kippur. So we don't recommend such a practice. It's not a good idea to recite Shechyanu al Hayayin on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur we actually do that. We say Shechyanu afilu bashuk, we say Shechyanu not in conjunction with any Kiddush. On the other Yom Tovim, on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot and on Shmini Atzeres and on Rosh Hashanah, also, if you would say the Shechyanu while walking in the street, Bashuk or in Shul, not in conjunction with the Kiddush, everybody would be yotzei the Shechyanu. But lachatchila, the Gemara recommends to save the Shechyanu till the Kiddush, so you enhance the chashivas of the bracha by reciting it al hayayin. But if you say the Shechyanu not al hayayin, you will be yotzei. So that's what the Miri writes, that he thinks that if a person doesn't have a Megillah, and he's not able to recite Shechyanu in conjunction with the Mikra Megillah, so let him say Shechyanu on the day itself. Shechyanu am rafilu Bashuk. He said the same by Chanukah and by Purim. You don't have any neiris to light on Chanukah, you don't have any Megillah to read on Purim, so you say Shechyanu on the day itself. So based on that, Me'iri, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Me'iri. So based on these Me'iris, that's what some extended it to Yom HaAtzmaut. Also, just on the Etzim, Kedushas Hayom itself, you should say Shechyanu. Ala Rishayim Manim Etzdarim, we're not so convinced that the Me'iri is right. What do you mean? My Yom Yomai. Who says that Purim and Chanukah is different from the other days? He says Shechyanu just on the Itzum Shal Yom, just on the Omer Afila Bashuk. The Gemara says Shechyanu Omer Afila Bashuk. That Gemara in Erev in Daf Mem and Beis, that goes on the Yom Tovim Deraisa, on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the day is taka different from the other day. So he says Shechyanu over the mitzvah Simchas Yontif. Shechyanu v'kimanu lazman hazeh. This man is taka on the calendar. It's a red letter day. Chanukah and Purim is not really different. Midirabbanan, they made mitzvahs that you should do certain mitzvahs on that day. But it's not so muskim to say like the Me'iri, that you can say the Shechyanu on the Itzum Shal Yom. In Shulchan Aruch it's assumed that Shalachmanis has to be food. If you send Svarim, or you send Kesh, or you send a pair of shoes, or a suit or something, send anything other, a piece of furniture, send anything other than food, say you're not Yotzei Shalach Manos. The part of Shalach Manos is that it's connected with the Suda, that you have to have, if you invite other people to come to your home and to eat the Suda with you, so the Pashtus is that that's the best form of fulfilling Shechiyonu, of fulfilling Shalach Manos. The Ikadin of Shalach Manos is to have someone else eat with you who normally doesn't eat with you. Usually the husband and the wife and the children eat together, and the strangers don't eat with them, so if they invite strangers in, so that's Dosei Shalach Manos. That's Alpi Pashtus. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a binyan tshuva from the binyan tzion that a svara achia, a big chiddush, that if you give shalach manos in person, you're not yotzei, you have to dafki give ayidei shaliach, because the loshen apostle gives him a shalach manos ish l'riyeh. The pashtus is that that's a very big chiddush, and the pashtus in the Gemara is not so. The pashtus in the Gemara is that if you give in person, you're certainly yotzei. So the pashtus is that the preferable, it's preferred to have to invite people to come eat by your home. That's the best form of shalach manos. And then our second best is if you send the food to his home, so then it's also your yotzei shalach manos. In fact, the Bach points out that from the Rashi is mashma, the Gemara says there were two Amoraim who were very poor and they really couldn't afford to send the elaborate shalach manos to others. So the Gemara says that these two Amoraim were machalfi ahadodi, that they switch with each other. So what does it mean to switch with each other? So people usually learn pshat, like over here, they both were checking out in the cafeteria. And the two made up with each other, I'm going to buy you your meal and you'll buy me my meal, and each one will be Yotzei Shalach Manos. So I ask you, what would you like to have for lunch? And you ask me, what you like to have? So whatever you want, I'm going to buy for you. Whatever I want, so I want a salami sandwich, so you buy me a salami sandwich. And you want chicken, so I buy chicken. And then when we check out, so I bought this and you bought that, then we switch with each other, so we're both Yotzei Shalach Manos. I give you a meal and you give me a meal. So Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns Machalfi Ahadodi, that one year I invite you to eat by me and the next year you invite me to eat by you. That's what it means, Machalfi Ahadodi. So the Bach on the tour asked the Kasha, so what good is that? If one year I invite you, so I'm Yotzei Shalach Manos, and you're not Yotzei Shalach Manos, the next year you invite me, so you're Yotzei Shalach Manos, you gave me, I didn't give you anything. So how does it help according to Rashi? How are they both Yotzei Shalach Manos? So the Bach suggests, maybe Rashi is of the opinion that whenever a person eats with another person whom he normally does not eat with, then they're both Yotzei Shalach Manos. Shalach Manos means that it's a mitzvah to have the Sudas Purim with a person or with a group of people whom you normally wouldn't eat with. On Purim, if a stranger comes to eat by us, so then we're eating with him and he's eating with us. So we're both Yotzei Shalach Manos. Except that the guy who's going to be the host is going to go broke. If I'm always going to do the inviting, I'm going to go broke. I'm not so wealthy. So we used to alternate. So one year I invite you, and the next year you invite me. Okay, so it comes out that it's even. But when you eat by me, so we're both Yotzei. And if I eat by you, so we're both Yotzei Shalach Manos, because the Ikar Din of Shalach Manos is that everyone should eat the Sudas Purim together, according to Rashi, together with someone whom he normally wouldn't eat with. Yeah. So that's if you take eat together. So then Rashi seems to hold that they're both Yotzei. That's what the Bach points out. If you don't eat together, I send a mana to his home, so then only the one who sends it is Yotzei. The one who receives is not Yotzei. That's one-sided. If I send the food to his home and he's going to eat it over there, so it's considered as if he participated in my meal. So I had my meal, I shared my meal with others, but you can't say that we participated in his meal. He was over there and we were over here. You can say he participated in our meal, so the one who sent the Shalach Manos is Yotzei. But if it's not that I send the Shalach Manos to his home, Itaki actually comes and he eats by me, then from the Rashi it would appear that the both parties are Yotzei. Both the host and the guest are Yotzei the Shalach Manos. The Pashtus is that the Shalach Manos has to be Manos, has to be courses of food and a meal, not some popcorn or Cracker Jacks or candy bars, chocolate bars, or lollipops, this kind of junk food. It's the food that you would eat in the meal. Even a question if you ate it with bread. Bread is not a course, that bread is the bread. And then you have the manas, you eat in the meal. So you should give the chreis, cooked chicken, you give cooked fish, you give cooked vegetables, you give something that would serve as a course in the meal. Then the chayodam, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the chayodam that the shalach manas has to be a psalmana chashuva, depending on who the person is. If he's an Adam Nichbod, so he wouldn't need such a little, if he's fasting Taneisim all the time and hardly is he skinny like a skinny guy, so you give him a chatzishir of a meal, so that's for him, that's a So the chashuva, if he's a normal guy, he never eats like that. That's not a portion for him. So you don't just say, well, you gave him two kazaisim. I gave him a kazais of chicken. I gave him a kazais of potatoes, French fried potatoes. I gave him three French fries. So that's enough. What do you mean three French fries? That's not a portion. That's the ipsah dover chashuv. There's a question regarding the matanis lev yonim also. How much are you supposed to give? So some achrayim on the Shulchan Aruch say a pruta or a shava pruta, and others say no, you have to give so much matanis lev yonim that the evyon would be able to buy a meal for himself, because the Gemara in the end of Bava Metzia seems to say that Bizmana Gemara, that was the common practice. They used to collect a lot of money on Purim, and they used to make a big suda for the anim, and that's how everybody was yotzei matanis lev yonim. You don't necessarily have to give an amount of money to one avion, an amount of money to another avion. You give it to the gaboyim, and they're collecting money. They take everybody's money together, and they make a big spread, they make a big meal, and they invite all of the aniyim to eat. So my money is going to feed two aniyim. You don't have to earmark your money. I want it to go to Yanko and Shmerel. It goes into the fund, and the fund is divided amongst many aniyim. So the Gemara seems to say beferish that the main purpose of the Matanis Levi Yainim Ampurim was that they should have a meal to eat. The Gemara talks about Mishanim and Das Balabais Nikra Gazlan. If I give you something, I give you a matona and it's yours. But it's understood, let's say I give you a pair of shoes because I see you walking around barefoot, that your shoes are all torn or something like that. And I give you a matona, the understanding was that you're going to use the matona. Then instead of you using the matona, you give it to someone else. So Gemara has a whole discussion that you're Nikra Gazlan. It belongs to you. You can do whatever you want. No, but since I gave it to you, the understanding was that you're going to use it for a specific purpose. So if you're Mishanim, Midas Balabayas, so that's a discussion in the Gemara with a Nikra Gazlan. Maybe that's he can't say he has a Kinyan Gzela. It's his. It means it's Zayvran and Nisa Gzela. Zayvran and Nisa Gzela, because wasn't given Alatanai. It's not that he gave Alatanai, and if there's going to be Bittul Alatanai, so the Matana goes back to the Nisain. No, that's not the case. It's just that he's using it for, he's misappropriating. He's using the money for a different purpose. So the Gemara there also says when you give the money to the aniyim on Purim, and the understanding was that they were going to use it for food, and then they're going to use it to buy shoes. So that's a shah, the Mishanim Adaz Balabais, Nikra Gazlan. So some are of the opinion that the basic mitzvah on Purim, basically there are only two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah and the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. And the other two are all aspects of the Sudas Purim. The Shalach Manas is an aspect of the Sudas Purim. You should give two manas, two courses of food, to someone else to participate in your Suda. And the Matanas Lev Yanim is also a form of Sudas Purim. That you have to give enough money to the Anim that they should be able interested in eating with them. They may be interested in eating with me. I'm not too interested in eating with them. So you have to give to two, and you give them enough to buy a meal and goodbye and good luck. Okay, let them take care of themselves. But basically everything boils down to the Suda. The one mitzvah really is the Suda. That's what we spoke about yesterday, that the Purim from all of the Yamim Tevim Derabbanan that are listed off in the Megillah Steinis, Purim is the only one where the Chachamim instituted the mitzvah of Suda. And the other two mitzvahs, namely the Shalach Manas, Matanis Lev Yonim, are basically additional aspects of the Sudas Purim. Here the Bnei HaKnisa, who lay in the Megillah on the Sheni Mechamishi before Purim, so the Gemara says, but the Sudas Purim they have to have on Purim, and the Shalach Manas has to be an aspect of the Sudas Purim. It goes in conjunction with the Sudas Purim. But just says the exception to the rule is the Matanis Lev Yonim. Even though Matanis Lev Yonim should also really be connected, more connected with the Sudas Purim, because the whole purpose of Matanis Lev Yonim is that they should have money to buy a Suda. That the Gemara says that we assume the Chachamim were misakin that in conjunction with the Mikra Megillah. Neishaneim Shalanim Nesuas the Mikra Megillah. Why the two manas? Well, you have to give two manas. So the Pashto says that's the definition of a Suda Chashuva. If you have a two-course meal, by us we have a 10-course meal. You have gefilte fish, and you have soup, and then you have one kind of kugel, another kind of kugel, a third kind of kugel, a fourth kind of kugel. You have vegetable salad, and you have another kind of salad. You have so many different dishes in a meal. But Bizmana Tanoim, they considered the Suda Hashuva means a Suda that has two courses to it, as opposed to one course meal. You have to have two courses. Let's say on Erev Tisha B'Av Lo'yachol Adam Shnei Tavshilin. In the Suda HaMavsekes, you're not allowed to have Shnei Tavshilin. Or on Pesach night, the Gemara says you have to have Shnei Tavshilin on the Cairo. So the Gemara is not sure what that's supposed to represent. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion that this Shnei Tavshilin is only after the Churban Abayis, and Echad Zecha LePesach, and Echad Zecha LeChagiga. But originally, till the Gemara comes to that conclusion, the other Amoraim had other understandings on what the Shnei Tavshilin is supposed to represent. So you get the impression that the others held that on Pesach night, it's supposed to be a Bekovedik meal, so you shouldn't just wash Hamoitzi and have your Mora, and then have the Korban Pesach, and then bench. No, you got to have another course. You have to have two courses, and even Mizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayom, you should still have two courses in order to show that it's a Suda Hashuvah. That's what it would appear over here, that the Shnei Monos, Shof Monos Ish L'Reyeh, the two Monos that you give L'Reyehu are two Monos in addition to the bread, like the Shnei Tavshilin by the Suda HaMavsekes is in addition to the bread. It's not that the bread itself counts as one of them. That's also a shaila, whether a barrel of wine is, let's say you give a barrel of wine and a salami. Are you yaitzi with that? Maybe the wine is not a course in the meal. Maybe the shnei manas, the shtei manas have to be meichel. Maybe mashke is not mitzarev. That's because the Rabbeinu Hanan later. The later post can point out from the Rabbeinu Hanan is mashma that you're not yaitzi with wine. Is that Gemara? He sent a barrel of wine. And he said that you're not. Here it is. On Zayin on the base is the Rabbeinu Hanan. Sent a barrel of wine, sent a big piece of flesh and a kankan yayin. So he says, you're yoytze matonis lev yayin, but you're not yoytze shalach manas. Why was he not yoytze shalach manas? Sent a barrel of wine and a yerach shalegal. So why isn't that shnei manas? The answer, Rabbeinu Hanan argues in the Gemara, says that you are yoytze. You give a barrel of wine and a piece of flesh, you are yoytze. But the Rabbeinu Hanan's gears in the Gemara apparently is different from ours. Is that it has to be two courses in the meal, that the beverages don't count. So if the beverages don't count, the challah doesn't count either. You have to have two courses that you're going to eat. The Gemara in the second parak has a kula that we spoke about yesterday, that if roiv of the Megillah is read mitoch haksav, and even though the miut is read balper, it's acceptable. That's on Yud Ches on the base. Hishmit bo hasayfer osios of psukim okruan hakari balper yotzo. So the Gemara says up until roiv. If it's miktsasa is good, if it's ruba is missing is no good. So the Gemara has two kulas over here. One kula is on the text of the Megillah that you say ruba kikula. And the other kula is on the kriya, that if rov of the kriya is mitoch haksav, even on the miut of the kriya is balper, so you're yoytze. But mistama lechatchila, whenever you rely on ruba kukula in the mitzvah, the pashtu says that that's only b'diavad. Lechatchila, you shouldn't rely on ruba kukula. Let's say, for example, the Mechaber writes in Hilchas Pesach that when you drink the arba kosas, so you should drink the kos kuloi oi rubai. Kuloi or ruba. What is that lashon? Kula or ruba? Each one of the curses is kula or ruba. So the Taz quotes from his father-in-law, from the Bach, that it means lechatchila should drink kula, and b'dieved if you drink ruba, then you say ruba kukula. That's a kula. Ruba kukula in fulfillment of a mitzvah is only b'dieved. If you want to fulfill a mitzvah b'shleimusa, more correct is to drink kula, kola kois. So pashtus over here is also like that. More correct would be that the Balkor should lay every letter mitoch haksav. You shouldn't lay anything balpeh. See, the Gemara says, we are mekel, if you lay ruba kukula, if roiv was lay mitoch haksav, and the meal was said balpeh, so then you would be yotze b'dieved. But lachatchila, more correct, to fulfill a mitzvah b'shlei Musa, is not to rely on the ruba kukula. That's a big problem. The Pashtus says that it's ma'akiv even the miut. Pashtus says that this kula is only by Mikra Megillah because Nikris Sefer and Nikris Sigeris. And when you have a letter, so sometimes when you write a letter, you're not so careful. You leave out a word, you leave out a letter. You know, you don't have to make hagos. on the letter. So because Nikris Igeris, so that's why we're Mekos. But in the other Svarim of the Tanakh, other than the Megillah Esther, we would assume that everything is Likula. Alpi Pashta said, you shouldn't say Ruba Kukula. I don't know. That's a question. So this raises a problem. The Ramah quotes a minig from the Gaonim that there's a minig that spreads out over the whole year long, that there are certain psukim in Tanakh that we say along with the Balkoire. At the end of Eichel, we say Ashvenu Shem Eilechem Anushul Achare Shemeni Kikedem, or on a Tainas Tibu when the Balkoire is laning, so we say Hashem Hashem Karachem Achare Merach Hapayim Rab Chesed Yemes, and so on. We say with the Balkoire along. Or what else do we say with the Balkoire? On Purim we say psukim with the Balkoire. So the Ramah quotes this. This is a Tshuvas HaGoinim, that psukim of Kapora and Slicha and Yeshua and Nechama, we say along with the Balkoire as a Simen Toiv. So this is a problem if a lot of the Tzibur don't have a Kosher Megillah in front of them. They just have a printed Chumash. So when they say that Pasuk, usually we say the Pasuk before the Balkoire says the Pasuk. So if it's the other, there are four psukim in the Megillah that we all say out loud. So if it's one of the earlier three psukim, so you say the pasuk out loud, but then the Balkoire is going to say the pasuk again mitoch haksav. So it's considered mitoch haksav. You heard it mitoch haksav, and then he continues to read the whole Megillah. So I've already heard 99% of the Megillah mitoch haksav. Then we're up to the last pasuk. So when you say the last pasuk, Mordechai Yehudi rotsu deraivecha davisham balamo, forgot already the whole conclusion of the pasuk. So if I say that pasuk balpeh, bingo, so I'm Yotzeh already. So I was already Yotzeh the whole Mikra Megillah. Now it's not going to help if the Balkoire is going to say that Pasuk again a second time. By the first three Psukim, I say the Pasuk, I'm still not Yotzeh anything. I didn't finish. We have a whole Megillah yet to go. We didn't finish till the end of the Megillah. But on the concluding Pasuk, as soon as I say that Pasuk Balpeh, so the Gemara says, B'dievet Yeh Yotzeh, because I read Rav of the Megillah, Mitoch HaKsav and only Miut was Balpeh. And then the fact that the Balkoire is going to lane over again will not accomplish for me that I should be Yotzeh the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. Because once you Yotzeh B'dayeveh, so you can't fix it up later on to do it. I'll hear the Megillah again a second time, and the second time I'll read the whole Megillah Mitoch HaKsav. No, I was ready Yotzeh the first time, B'dayeveh. So once you Yotzeh B'dayeveh, you can't convert the B'dayeveh into a Lahatchila. So Mestama, everyone should have in mind when they say that last pasuk, they should have Kavana Shalom Lotzis. They should have in mind that they don't want to be Yotzeh now. They dafka want to be Yotzeh with the Balkoire, who's going to say it later.
You can Yotzeh the beginning and end. And that whole even Shalom, the beginning and the end, you're not Yotzeh. So wouldn't you consider beginning and end?
That's what we spoke about yesterday. That the Mishnah Brura quotes a Machloikas Achreinim regarding that din. The Rashba proved from the Gemara. The Gemara in New Testament Aleph has a four-way machlokes hatanaim. How much of the Megillah do you have to lane? So we pass like Rameir, Tzach Likras is Kula, from the beginning to the end. But there are three other tanaim who say not so. Rabbi Yehuda says you only have to lane from Ishi Yehudi Hoya. Rabbi Yosi says you only have to lane from Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela. And Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Tosefta, in the Gemara, from Balayla Hu Nardo Shnas HaMelech. So the Gemara says, even if you hold like those three shittas, that you don't have to lane the entire Megillah, only from a certain point on to the end. But however, tzricha shetek suva kula lefonov. Afil leman d'oma, you don't have to lane all. Tzricha shetek suva kula to lane from. If let's say like this week is going to be Parshas Vayikra, so you have to lane from a chumash Vayikra, from a whole chamish chumash shetek. Can't lane from a klap that only has Parshas Vayikra. You're only laning Parshas Vayikra, but it has to have everything written in it. Here too, you're only laning from Ish Yehudi, or you're only laning from Acharat Dvarim Ha'ela. But still has to be a Megillah says, it has to be written from the beginning to the end. So the Rashba asks Akasha, why? It's Ksuba Ruba. The Rova of the Megillah is written. If you're laning from Ish Yehudi, or laning from Achar Advar Melech, what do I care if the beginning is missing? But that's only less than 50%. And you have more than 50%. And the Kriya is all going to be from the part that's written. So the Rashba is Machriach from this Gemara, either you have to say missing Inyan Sholem, Pasol's the Megillah, or you have to say Tchilosa or Seifa, Pasuls the Megillah. So the Mishnah Brura has a machlokes achreinim in the Bir Halacha on this din of Tchilos of a Sefer is no good. Is that only if it's missing in the text of the Megillah Tchilos of a Sefer? That's no good. What if in the Megillah itself there's nothing missing? But I walked in a second late. I walked in, the Balkoire already says, Vahi bimeach hashveirosh. So I didn't say the brachas yet. So I'm going to gobble down quickly. I'm going to rush through the three brachas. Then I'm going to say the first two psukim from a printed chumash. I don't have a klaf. I'm going to say the first two psukim from a printed chumash and catch up with the Baal Kori. Then the Baal Kori will lane from that point on, from the third pasuk on. By the time I'll finish the first two psukim, he's going to be up to the third pasuk. The Mishnah Berurah has a machlekes achrayim about that. So I thought the pashtus says that would be good. That the halacha, like the one opinion in the Mishnah Berurah, that the halacha that chilos of a seifa is no good, is only chisara in the heft of the Megillah. If chilos of a seifa of the Megillah is missing, then it's not a kosher Megillah. But if the Megillah is a kosher Megillah, has everything. The only thing is, I was yotze the first or the last pasuk bal peh. So the pashtus says that then it would be good. He quotes a machlekes about that. The pashtus says it would be good. That wouldn't pose a problem. But that right. His Megillah is kosher. La Mahadrin has every letter in it. The only thing is that in my Kriya, the first couple of psukim were recited bal peh. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Machlokes Achrayim, and the Pashtus says that it would be good. Pashtus says people do that all the time. They come in a little bit late in the Mikra Megillah, so they say quickly the brachas and they start reading the first few psukim in the printed Megillah, and then they pick up with the Baal Kori later. So that's 2 days in the Mishnah Berurah. The Pashtus says that it would be good. The Gemara has a din that a Paris Ben Yomo Mikri Paris and a Mukav Ben Yomo Mikri Mukav. That's on Yutes Amud Aleph. That even if you only, I normally live in Yerushalayim. I happen to be visiting in America for a week. I normally live in America. I'm visiting in Yerushalayim just for a week. So do you say, oh, basically I'm an American and I have to read the Megillah on Yudalit, so I can't be Yotze on Tezvav in Yerushalayim? You say, basically he's a Yerushalmi, so he's an Yotze with the Mikra Megillah here in New York on Yudalit, he has to read on Tezvav. So the Gemara says, no, wherever you are, that's it. Paras ben Yom Mikri Paras, and then a Mukav ben Yom Mikri Mukav. That's the Gemara on Yotze Amid Aleph. That's what some poskim say, that's what the Mincha Saluza says, when he gets to Yantam Shenish Shel Golias. He claims wherever you happen to be, that's it. If you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, so it's only 1 day off. If you happen to be in Chutz Lartz, so it's 2 days off. It doesn't matter whether you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael or a Ben Chutz Lartz, it's irrelevant. He writes in his Chulas that he visited Eretz Yisrael and he had such a good time. He met all these tzaddikim and the mekubalim and the Talmid HaChamim and everything, and he went during Sfira time, so he wanted to stay on a little longer. But then he knew he would get involved in the issue with the Yontav Sheni Shel Golias regarding Shavuos. And he personally held that you only observe 1 day Yontav, but the others held, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, you got to keep 2 days Yontav. So he said he doesn't want to get involved in a hassle, so he went back home to Europe. He left Eretz Yisrael before Shavuos in order not to get involved in the machlokes. So that's the question, b'negiat the Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, is there a tzushtal or not? But the Gemara says that b'negiat the Mikra Megillah, it all depends where you are that day. So that's the question, what do you mean that day? Paris ben Yom Mikri Paris and the Mukav ben Yom Mikri Mukav. What's haste that day? So this is a machlekes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. So I remember when Rav Soloveitchik used to discuss this topic, he used to always say the way it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says like this: it all depends where the person is going to be at Alois HaShachar of Yud Dalet in the morning. Doesn't depend on Seisa Kochavim of Matzoi Tainis Esther going into Purim. It depends on Alos HaShach of Yudalit in the morning. Why is that so? So the Rav Soloveitchik said, you see two assumptions over here. Assumption number one is that Leil Yudalit is not yet Purim. Purim begins in the morning. But you're laying the Megillah Leil Yudalit. How can you say that? So he said, no, that's just Chayvonim Mikris is the Megillah Balayla L'Shanosu Bayom. He said over the Netziv in the Hagdamah to Chumash Mos has that comment. The Gemara says on Dalet Amud Aleph, Chayv Adam Likrisus and Megillah Balayla Ula Shanosa Bayom. So when Rabbi Shob and Levi said that, the Talmidim saw him in awe. The Talmidim thought Likrisus and Megillah Balayla, Kriyas and Megillah is Balayla, and Lul Shanosa means to learn Mishnayos. They have to learn Mishnayos Megillah in the daytime. Till they told him, no, that's not what he meant. He meant you have to repeat the Megillah, to lay the Megillah a second time. So why did he use such a misleading lotion? Ulashanoisa bayom. You should say, Megillah balayla bayom. Pamay, balayla bayom. No, so the Netziv says he wanted to bring out the idea, what's the purpose of laying the Megillah balayla and reading a second time? Because the second time you learn it, when you have the Chazara, then you understand it better. That's why we have Chazara before the Bchinas. When you read it the first time, you don't fully understand it. When you read it the second time, a Chazara, within a soon soon after reading it the first time, then you'll understand it better. So it's already been a whole year since last Purim, we haven't had heard the Megillah. So you should lane the Megillah, that's the lane. The first Kriya of Megillah is Balayla. When you lane by Yom, the second Kriya will be better understood than the first Kriya. Rav Soloveitchik used to give that marshal, that's what we mentioned yesterday. Let's say a guy will hear the Megillah Balayla and he dies. He never lives so long till he hears the Megillah Bayom. So it comes out he has no keen whatsoever. If he'll live so long to hear the Megillah Bayom, so then it'll come out that it is Yaitse Balayla Bayom. But if he only hears Balayla, that's just a hachana. That's like building a sukkah and he never gets to sit in the sukkah. He did a hachana, he did a hachsha mitzvah, but he never did the mitzvah. Here, the Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla is really, it's the night before Purim. It's not really the night of Purim, it's the night before Purim. Purim begins in the morning. That's Chiddush number one that it would appear over here. Because Benegeya to Tkiya Shofar and Benegeya to Netilas Lulav, even though Tkiya Shofar is only by Yom and not by Laila, and Netilas Lulav is only by Yom and not by Laila, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes, points out that the dinim what does the Gemara call it? Dichui. If you had a shofar which was kosher and then it became posel and then it became kosher again, or you had a lulav or a dalad minan that were kosher and then it became posel and then it became kosher again, so the Gemara says if it's nira v'nitcha v'chaza v'nira, so it's a suffix in the Gemara and we pasel. So that depends on the zman mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah points out in Rashi, you see in Rashi in the Gemara that the zman mitzvah begins from bein hashmashes of tchilas Rosh Hashanah and bein hashmashes of tchilas Sukkot. So he quotes the Orach Laner, asks the Kasha, why does it begin on Ben HaShemashes, but you don't lo shofar balayla, and you don't shake a lula balayla, it should depend on Alos HaShach in the morning. So he says from the Orach HaShulchan, from the Bikur Yankiv, the Orach HaShulchan says from Hilchas Dalminim, that apparently since the Kedushas HaYoyim of Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah begin at Ben HaShemashes, even though the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar is only by Yom, the mitzvah of lulav is only by Yom, but the chiyuv stems from the Kedushas Hayom, so the chiyuv begins at Bein HaShemashes. The ability to be mekayim that chiyuv is only by Yom. But the chiyuv is chal balayla. You have a chiyuv now, which you cannot fulfill that chiyuv until it comes later. But over here, Rashi learns in the Mishnah Berurah, learns in the Gemara here, that to determine whether a Paras Ben Yomo or a Mukad Ben Yomo is determined by Alos HaShachar of Yudalit, not by Tseisa Kuchav Mavtchilas Hayom. Even though you're talking about the Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom, the Kriyas HaMegillah by Laila depends on where you're going to have to lane by Yom. If at Alos HaShachar you're in Yerushalayim, if at Alos HaShachar Yud Dalet you're in Yerushalayim, that's kaver that you have to lane the Megillah in Yerushalayim on Tezvav. So then you have to lane on Leil Tezvav and Tezvav. If at Alos HaShachar Yud Dalet you're in Tel Aviv, so that's kaver you have to lane by Yom Yudalit in Tel Aviv, so then you have to lane the night before. Whenever you have to lane, first you kaveya, first you determine when you have to lane the Kriya Bayom. And then a function of the Kriya Bayom is the Kriya Balayla. Whenever you have to lane Bayom, so the night before you have to make the Hachana for that. But why should Alos HaShachar Yudalit be kaveya for Yerushalayim? Shouldn't it be Alos HaShachar of Tezvav? So the Mishnah Berurah says no. So what's the beer that no? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. That's what we said before. That both days are really Purim. Yudal and Tezvav are both Purim. So it depends on the Tchilas Hayom of Purim. Tchilas Hayom of Purim is the Alos HaShachar Yudal. Whether you live in Tel Aviv or you live in Yerushalayim, both days are Purim. And the Purim begins the Alos HaShachar of Yudal. So where you are at Alos HaShachar will determine when you have to have the Kriya Bayom, whether Yom of Yudal, Yom of Tezvav. And wherever, once you determine where you have to, what day you have to have that kriya, whether Yom Yudal or Yom Tezvav, that will also determine the night before. We'll have to go according to whenever that kriya is. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Psak of the Mishnah Berurah is based on these two assumptions, that Chiddush, the both Chiddushim, that both days are Purim, and Purim begins for everybody in the world on Yudal, Alos HaShachar, in the morning, not on Tzeisa Kacham the night before. It begins Yudalad in the morning at Alos HaShachar. And the Chazanish disagrees. The Chazanish says no, it depends, each day depends on Alos HaShachar of that day. If you are in Yerushalayim at Alos HaShachar Tezvav, you become mechuyev to hear Mikra Megillah of Tezvav. You would become mechuyev in all the mitzvahs Hayom of Tezvav. If you are in Alos HaShachar in Tel Aviv, see mechuyev to hear the Megillah and to do all the mitzvahs on Yudalad. So the Mishnah, so the Chazon Ish writes, there's a possibility that a person will be mechuyev twice, mikra adin, to hear the Megillah all four times, and to give shalach manis and matanas lev yonim, and to have sudas purim on both days. If Yudalit alos hashachar, he is in Tel Aviv, and Tezvav alos hashachar, he's in Yerushalayim, he's chayev in both. And if the guy wants to patter himself from everything, so then he let him be fakirat. Let him, that's not nice, but the Chazon Ish writes, strictly speaking, he quotes a Yerushalmi like that. Strictly speaking, he'll be careful to see that he's in Yerushalayim at Alos HaShachar of Yudalit, which is not Mechaibim in anything, and he'll be careful to be at Alos HaShachar of Tezvav Chutz LYerushalayim. So he's patur from the whole Purim. He doesn't become obligated to observe anything in Purim. Because all the chiyuv machal at Alos HaShachar, if you're in the right place at the right time. So Alos HaShachar Yudalit in Chutz LYerushalayim is Mechaibim in all the mitzvahs, and Alos HaShachar of Tezvav in Yerushalayim is mechayv you and everything. They say that this professor Leibowitz was a character. What was his name? Shaya Leibowitz. He was a character. He didn't like the Yom Tov Purim, because the Yom Tov Purim was celebrating that we took nekama from our enemies. Apparently, he didn't think that that's the Jewish way. So he didn't want to. He didn't want to become mechayv to celebrate Purim. So he did like the Heilige Chazon Ish. He was careful to be in Yerushalayim on Yom Yudalit at Alos HaShachar, and careful to be in Tel Aviv on Yom Tezvav at Alos HaShachar. He's Pata. He didn't become a Chuyiv in anything. Didn't want to violate Chas V'Shalom, and he did. So he did it in such a way that he never became a Chuyiv.
The person ended up in Yerushalayim in the morning,
it wasn't there the night before, so
he
never
came to the night.
Again, he ends up in Yerushalayim.
But he wasn't there the night before, so he couldn't wait the night before.
But he plans to be in Yerushalayim at Alos of the morning of Tezvav, and he's now in Tel Aviv. So he has to hear the Megillah in Tel Aviv on Leil Tezvav, because he plans to be in Yerushalayim at Alos HaShachar of Tezvav, and that's going to be Mechayiv him in the Mikra Megillah of Yom Tezvav. And Yom Tezvav, Mikra Megillah, that's Mechayiv you to prepare in advance, to have the Kriya the night before. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says that when you daven Ma'ariv, and Leil Purim you say Al Anisim. So the Vilna Gaon writes, what's the Chiddush? Because the Beis Yosef quotes one opinion from the Rishonim that you don't say Al Anisim. You only say Al Anisim by Ma'ariv if you already heard the Megillah. Normally we dab Ma'ariv first, then we read the Megillah. So since we dab Ma'ariv before we read the Megillah, so according to some opinions, they don't say Al Anisim. So that's why the Ramah says we don't pass them like that. We pass them that you do say Al Anisim. What is that opinion? Soloveitchik was always fond of quoting, said, yeah, that's what we said, that Leil Yudalit is not yet Purim. Purim begins in the morning of Yudalit. And Leil Yudalit is not Purim. So what are you saying Al Anisim for? But if you already read the Megillah, so then, and then you're davening Ma'ariv after the Mikra Megillah, so then those who shine them hold that saying Al Anisim relates back to the Mikra Megillah. Okay, it relates to something. But if you didn't lay the Megillah yet, why should you say Al Anisim? If a guy lives in Siberia and doesn't have a Megillah, he says Al Anisim anyway. Yeah, but he only says Al Anisim on Purim. The night before is not Purim. The night before Purim. No. There was such an opinion in Rishonim, and we don't follow that opinion. But just because you don't follow that opinion, the Rav Soloveitchik thought, doesn't necessarily disprove the whole thesis. He thought that, like the Mishnah Brura, that Alos HaShachar of Yudalit is kaveh everything for everybody, because both days are Purim, and it begins in the morning of Yudalit. The night before doesn't count. That's the question. How do you read the Gemara? The Gemara says, Sudas Purim Shasol Balayla Lo Yotza Yedei Chayvas. If you have the Suda Balayla, so you're not Yotza. So the Mordechai quotes some Rishonim who learned that if you have the Suda Balayla, that's insufficient, because just like on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one is obligated to have his Achas Bayom. The Achas Balayla, you have to have one Suda Bayom and one Suda Balayla. That's on Zayin Omer Beis. So to Ampurim, it's not sufficient if you have a Suda Balayla. You have to have one Suda Balayla and one Suda Bayom. Most of the Rishonim assume not like the Mordechai. It does mean, so the Purim Shasol Balayla Layotze Dechavos, it's insufficient because you are required to have two Sudas like on every Shabbos and Yom. That means it's zero. There's no way you need to have a Suda Balayla. Of course, people are starved. They just fasted a whole daytime system. Of course, they're going to eat something. But it doesn't have to be a Suda. According to the Aruch HaShulchan that we mentioned yesterday, you're only Yotze the Suda if you wash. So the question is, do you have to wash over bread on Leil Purim? According to the Rambam, that the Sudas Purim has to be Basav Yayin Adol Yoda. So that's the question. Do you have to have Basav Yayin Adol Yoda Gam Balayla Vegam Bayom? You have to have a Fleshig Mil Balayla. So these are the two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Whether whether one has to be machmetab, a sudas purim, gamba laila, be gamba yom ana. So those, most of the Rishonim hold that sudas purim, shasob balaila, leyotze dechabasa means that you can't fulfill any of the mitzvahs hayoim. Balaila, if you give shalachmanis, matanis, leviyam, if you do anything balaila, you're not yotze. And the sudah balaila is also garnished. All the mitzvahs have to be done by yom. That's the minority opinion, that leyotze dechabasa means that it's insufficient. The halacha requires that you should have two sudas, similar to Shabbos and Yom Tov. So there are more quotes that opinion. There are those who are machmer for that opinion. But that's not really the Iker Shita. The Iker Shita is that if you do any mitzvahs balayla, you're not yotze. That's why Tosfos on Dalet Amud Aleph presents the Shaila. The bottom Tosfos has the Shaila. Do you say Shechiyonu when you read the Megillah Bayom? You just said Shechiyonu when you read the Megillah balayla. So why should you repeat again Shechiyonu when you read the Megillah Bayom? You don't say Shechiyonu every day when you put on tefillin. Every day a person puts on a talus, he says Shechiyonu. He's so excited that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave him a mitzvah, he says Shechiyonu. The Gemara says, you only say Shechiyonu, and a mitzvah bom is man lezman. Once in a long while you do this mitzvah. So Mikra Megillah comes once a year. Fine. So the Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, we haven't heard the Megillah in a whole year. But the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom just heard the Megillah Balayla. So that's why the Rambam, the Mechaber Paschal is like that. That's the practice of the Sfaradim, that they don't say Shechiyonu Bayom Baboka. That's the Vilna Gaon Paschal is like that. That you don't say Shachyana Baboka. Here in the yeshiva for many years, there always used to be a Goyen's minion. So they used to have, in the morning, they read the Megillah and they didn't say Shachyana. That was the big chiddush. They didn't say Shachyana. The Maharil records that, I think when he was in Frankfurt, I think he was the Balkuri, I'm not sure. So it says that the minig in Frankfurt was minig svard. They have a lot of minhagim that are minig svard. So they, officially, they didn't say Shachyana, but he would mutter Shachyana under his breath because he's an Ashkenazi. He's not a Sephardi. So even though the minhag ha'makom is that they didn't say Shechiyonu, but he said Shechiyonu. So he said softly Shechiyonu. That's the Shitas HaTosfos. And the Ramah quotes that. Minhag Ashkenaz is that we follow Tosfos, that you do say Shechiyonu Bayom. That's the Shaila. What's the Shechiyonu Bayom based on? We just had Shechiyonu Balayla. So that's the Meiri, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Meiri on this. He says Shechiyonu Bayom. That's on the Yom Tov. Shechiyonu Amar Afilu Bashuk. Even if you don't have any Megillah, you say Shechiyonu Bayom. The Shechiyonu Balayla is not yet Purim. The Miri says, the night before Purim is the night before Purim. It's not yet Purim. So what do you think, Shechiyonu Balayla? Not because of the Yontif. That's because of the Mikra Megillah that you haven't had in a whole year. And if you're in Siberia and you don't have a Megillah, then you don't say Shechiyonu Balayla. But Shechiyonu Bayom, that's on the Yontif. That's on the Tzumashal Yom. That's on the Yontif. I'm Rafilu Bashut. That's what the Miri says. But that's an unusual opinion. Tosfos says something here, but it's problematic. We're not sure exactly what they say. The Rebala Tosfos says that the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. More important, the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom and not Balayla. So the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom we haven't had since last year. Last night we did Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. That's of less significance. The real mix of Kriyas HaMegillah is really Bayom. So that we haven't had in a whole year. In what sense is the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom so much more important than the Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla? That's a question. What is Tosfos driving at? So Rav Shlomo Levilna has his suggestion in the Binyan Shlomo. Rav Soloveitchik over the years used to say this so many times till he convinced himself that that was the story. But this against most of the Rishonim, most of the Achronim don't agree. He has his Chiddush that Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla was an institution that was made by Rabbi Shua ben Levi, by an Amoira. In the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the days of the Tanaim, they just didn't have it. That's why the Mishnah later, that lists off the mitzvahs that can be fulfilled by Yom, Zavish HaMitzvahs HaBayom Kosher Kol HaYom, so it says about the Kriyas HaMegillah. It says Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, what about the Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla? So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah is not talking about Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. It's only talking about Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. Taka, why not? Why doesn't the Mishnah talk about Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla? So Shlomo Levilna says, because it didn't exist in the days of the Tanoim. It was only instituted in the days of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, in the days of the Amorim. No, so if you say like that, so there's we can understand very well that you said Shechiyonu Balayla over the mitzvah Mikra Megillah Midrabbanan that was instituted by Rabbi Shua ben Levi. And then when you come the next morning to repeat the Megillah, now is for the first time in a whole year that you're fulfilling the Mikra Megillah of the Takanas Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which is more important than Takanas Amoraim. Okay, that we understand pretty well. Yeah, the Shaila is, what if you don't hold like that? Many Rishonim and Achronim assume otherwise. They assume that the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom or Balayla was already Bismar HaTanoim. They assumed that it's all part of the Takonas Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. It wasn't instituted later. So then what is Tosfos driving at? That the Iker, for the Iker Havi B'Momah, the more important mitzvahs, Bayom, as the Gemara says on Zayin HaMed Beis, if you do the Suda Balayla, you're not Yotzei, and the Shulchan Aruch says if you have the Shalach Manas or the Matanas Lavyonim Balayla, you're not Yotzei, anything Balayla. Only the Mikra Megillah has to be Balayla, so that's of secondary importance. What does that mean? That's problematic. So Rav Soloveitchik gave suggestions based on the Gemara. One of the suggestions he gave, based on the Gemara in Yudalad Amanalat that we spoke about yesterday, the Gemara gave one suggestion, Kriyasa Zu Halelo. That maybe the Gemara asked, how come we don't say Halel? How come we don't recite Halel? Lampurim. So the Gemara gave one suggestion, maybe by reading the Megillah, that itself constitutes a kiyum of reciting halal. It's an implicit halal. It's not explicit. It's not mefurish. It's an implicit kiyum of halal. So maybe the din is that you can only be out to the mitzvah halal bayom, velo balayla. That's the mishnah later, when it lists off which kalayam kosher the mikra megillah lekriyas halal. That's the mishnah chof on the base. You have all day long. You can say halal. You can't be out to halal balayla. So maybe even though there is a din of Mikra Megillah Balayla, maybe that's only B'Torah's Kriyas Kisvi HaKodesh. Now maybe that's not B'Torah's Halel. So the Kriya Bayom has an added aspect to it, namely that of Halel. So maybe that's why we say Shechyana Bayom, because there's an added feature to the Mikra Megillah that wasn't there Balayla. Aye, but Halel. Halel, we just said Halel on the last Yontif. It was just a Yontif, no, Sukkos. For Shechyadish we said Halel. Sukkos we said Halel. So still, it's not the mitzvah that we haven't done in a whole year. How have we said already? So you say, fine, Mikra Megillah Bayom has an added feature to it, an added knach, namely of Hallel. But how we also said in the middle of the year, many times over. So why should we recite Shechyanu on this Hallel? So he suggested, what do you mean Kriyasa Zul Hallel? What kind of a Hallel is that? It's only implicit. It's not an explicit Hallel. An explicit Hallel is when you say Hallel. Why do you have such a halal from a diuk? So he suggested maybe because it was an ace nista. When you have an ace nigla, so then you say a halal nigla. When you have an ace nista, then you say a halal with a diuk. By telling over the story, so you're implying a halal. So that kind of halal he hadn't had in a whole year. The other halal, that was explicit halal. But this kind of a halal, mitoch hadiuk, this we haven't fulfilled since last Purim. So he suggested maybe that's what Tosfos is driving at. Questionable. What do the Balei HaTosfos mean by this? That's what they say. The machlokes in the Rishonim regarding Ayores Hamakov Ischam and Mimoisa Shua Ben Nun, they have a special status on the level of their Raisa. Mitzora is not permitted to enter any of the Ayores Hamakov Ischam and Mimoisa Shua Ben Nun in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutzlar, it's not. So the question is here, but again, to this Takanas Chachamim, that the single dad Ayores Hamakov Ischam, what about Ayores Hamakov Ischam and Bechutzlar? Do they also have the special status of Mikra Megillah and Tezrov? Bistach Shushan. Shushan is in Chutzlach. Maybe you say, well, Shushan is different. The whole story happened in Shushan. But maybe when we extend it to all the other Ayores Hamakov Ischam, maybe that's only Ayores Hamakov Ischam in Eretz Yisrael, which I'll be called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa. Tikkun, they have a special status on the level of Deraisa. So the Rishonim have a machlokes about this. The Ran quotes a machlokes. When the Gemara is Beferish, the Gemara talks about cities in Bavel, that they're not sure whether they were Mukav Chaim or Shushu Ben Nun or not. So you see from the simple reading of the Gemara that it even applies in Chutz Loretz as well. So that's not a problem. What is the Kein Deraisa Tikkun? Called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. What could possibly be the Kein Deraisa of a Mukav Chayma in Chutz Loretz? Mukav Chayma in Eretz Yisrael has a special status, but Mukav Chayma in Chutz Loretz does not have any special status. The Mishnah says at the beginning of the second Perek that Mikra Megillah does not require Amida. Excuse me, beginning of the second paragraph is Hakoreh L'Mafreya. Beginning of the third paragraph, Hakoreh HaMegillah Emid V'Yoshev, You can read the Megillah either by Mido or by Yeshiva. So Pasha Pshat means that it's even Mutar Lachatchila to sit. There isn't even a Hida to stand. The Rambam just says, Rambam quotes from the Gaonim, that the Balkore, who lanes Betzibur, should stand Mefnei Kovod HaTzibur. If he lanes Betzibur, if he's laning less than the Tzibur, even the Balkore can sit. But that the Tzibur should stand doesn't really say in the regular Rishonim, the Mishnah, the Gemara, and the regular Rishonim that. And some of the Tshuvas HaGaonim have like that. They say that the Mishnah only goes by the Yevet. If you lay in the Megillah by Yeshiva, you hear it by the Yevet, but Lachatchila should really be by Midah. It's an obscure opinion. It's not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. But there's an Indian Lachatchila to stand for Mikra Megillah. So he machzis HaShekel on the bottom of the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is written very much by Kitzim. So the machzis HaShekel on the bottom of the page always interprets the Magen Avraham, and then he adds on, here and there he allowed on an additional comment. So here he volunteers on his own an original comment. He says that even if all the people plan to sit for the Mikra Megillah, that they have to stand for the Birchas HaMegillah. Why? Because the Magen Avraham wrote in Simen Ches, in Hilchas Tzitzis, it says when you're about to put on the Tzitzis in the morning, so you should stand up to recite the Bracha L'Hisatev B'Tzitzis. And then the Magen Avraham says, Hu Adinami, all Birchas HaMitzvah have to be recited by Amida. The Magen Avraham has the Kasha, there's a Mishnah, the Mishnah talks about a woman reciting the bracha lahafrish alafrash eschala bi yeshiva. Hoishi yoshevis v'kotza chalotza, and she's saying a bracha. Aruma, the chiddush is that even though she's not dressed, she's permitted to say a bracha because the eva ha'erva is covered up if she's sitting. If she's not sitting, it's not covered up. If she's sitting, it's covered up. So the Mishnah says that she can say the bracha sitting. Unless he say, well, that's b'shas hadchak. She has no brera. She has to sit. Otherwise, she can't say the bracha. But the Magen Avraham asked that kasha. So the Magen Avraham answers, well, maybe Hafrosh Haschala is only a matir. Maybe it's not a mitzvah. So that's why the bracha on Hafrosh Haschala is not really a birchas mitzvah. It's a different kind of a bracha. It's not really a mitzvah that you have to do. That's a discussion whether that's everybody agrees to that, or others disagree. Rabbi Kivega on that, Magen Avraham, Simen Ches, refers you to the Taz. And Simon Aleph in Yeridei, the Taz writes that he thinks that there's a mitzvah to be mafish trumas and maizris, even if you're not interested in eating the food. It's a mitzvah, it's not just a matzah. But that's the Magen Avraham that the Machzis HaShekel refers you to, that all birchas hamitzvah should be recited by Amida. Other Achrenim disagree, the Pnei Yeshua, and this Daf Chof Aleph, beginning of the third paragraph, disagrees with that Machzis HaShekel. He thinks that the inyan of reciting a birchas hamitzvah by Amida only applies to those mitzvahs which have to be performed by Amida. If the din requires lechatchila, let's say Sfira Sayim is supposed to be done by Mida, Tkiya Shofar is supposed to be done by Mida. The Gaonim have a whole series of drushes from Psukim, which we don't have any gemaras for. But the Gaonim had such a tradition that the whole series of mitzvahs that have to be performed lechatchila by Mida. So any mitzvah that has to be performed by Mida, so not only the mitzvah should be done by Mida, even the brach in conjunction with that mitzvah should also be done by Mida. But if you have a Mishnah that says that there's nothing wrong, even lechatchila, but reading the Megillah, Omid v'yoshev, if you're allowed to sit when you read the Megillah, so why should you be machmor more in the Birchas HaMegillah than in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah itself? So the Pnei Yeshua, I think, disagrees with that Machzis HaShekel. He holds that there's no need to stand for the Birchas HaMegillah, unless you want to stand for the whole Mikra Megillah, so then you stand for the Birchas HaMegillah as well. But the way it's generally assumed, that there isn't even a Hida lechatchila to stand for the Megillah, so there shouldn't be any Hida to stand for the Birchas HaMegillah. The Mishnah Brura quotes this, or Machzis HaShekel. So that's why in recent years Mishnah Brura became very popular. So that's why everybody knows this Machzis HaShekel. Nobody's familiar with those who are chaylik on the Machzis HaShekel. Yeah, the Gemara says regarding the bracha that's recited after the Mikra Megillah, so it says Mokh Mishnaga Levarach Yivarach, Mokh Mishnaga Shalom Levarach Lo Yivarach. The bracha Rabbis Rivein, it depends on the minig amok. So the Gemara says Bamed Var Momem, that's only the bracha Shalachre, it depends on the minig amok. Same thing Yehalelucha, the conclusion of the Hallel. So the Mishnai say that it depends on the minig amok. But the bracha Shalafaneh on the Hallel, or the three bracha Shalafaneh on the Mikra Megillah, that doesn't depend on the minig amok. That's really a choiva because kol mitzvos kulam mevarach aleihem oivel asiyosam. On Pesach night, Tosfos points out Yehalelucha is not optional. On Pesach night, that's the kais revi of the Arba Kaisis is Yehalelucha. So it's no longer optional. All year long, Yehalelucha is optional on Pesach night. Ma nishtana demiri the ritvo in Megillah yesterday kasha. Why is there a difference between you have Psukah Dezimra, and you have Hallel, where you have a bracha lefana and a bracha shalach reha, and all the psukim are sandwiched in between. And the bracha shalach reha does not pasachas b'dvarach. It says, Yehalleluch Hashem Malkeinu kol ma'aseicha. You say, Yishtavoshim kolad Malkeinu. On Nishmas, you start from Nishmas on Shabbos Yontov. And how come on Mikra Megillah, and on Kriyas HaTorah, and on Kriyas HaTorah, how come over there, the bracha shalach reha is pasachas b'dvarach? In both cases, in all the five cases, by the Mikra Megillah, and by the Kriyas HaTorah, and by the Haftarah, and by the Psukah Dezim, and by the Hallel, we should consider it. Either we consider a bracha smucha l'chavata, or you don't. If it's a bracha smucha l'chavata, how come by the Kriyas HaTorah and by the Mikra Megillah, why is it Pasachas B'baruch at the end? That's what the Ritvo asks. So the Ritvo answers that Mim b'mino yena chaytzitz, Mim shena mino is chaytzitz. He says that a bracha is always a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some Psukah Dezim and Hallel, the whole contents of the whole Psukah Dezim and Hallel is that you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says everything is smucha l'chavato. The first bracha is a shevach, and then the psukim in the middle are a shevach, and then at the end it's a shevach. So it's min b'min ein achaytzitz. So he says that's called the bracha smucha l'chavato. The bracha yishtabach yehalucha is smucha to the bracha before. But he says by kriyas haTorah or by the haftorah or by the mikra megillah, it's min b'shein aminoi. The bracha before and after all brachas are shevach, as opposed to the actual mikra megillah. Fine, kriyas zohalele. There's a kiyum of halal there. But the tochen of the psukim is kriyas tanach. You're not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're just leaning from tanach in the kriyas haTorah and in the haftorah and in the mikra megillah. The truth is an aspect of kriyas zohalele, but that's not the main aspect. The main aspect really is Talmud Torah. So that's not considered a bracha smucha l'chavata. So that's why the bracha shalach reha is pasachas b'baruch. We mentioned that the Vilna Goyen disagrees with the Ramo. The Ramo says you only say Harabis Rivenu B'Tzibur B'Yochid Yiront, and the Vilna Goyen holds that that's not, there is no such Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is talking about Kriyas HaTorah. It's not talking about the Megillah. The Megillah, even B'Yochid, you should say. But some of the later Paschim said that even though there were communities where they were big fans of the Vilna Goyen, they would follow all the Shittas of the Vilna Goyen, but you have to keep in mind over here that the reciting of the Bracha Harabis Rivenu is totally in the Minig HaMokom. So for many centuries the minig was like the Ramah, that they didn't say Haravis Rivenu B'Yochid. So even if the Goyen is right, he's not right, because there's no minig amokim. There's no minig amokim to say Haravis Rivenu unless you're leaning bo asara. It's not exactly the same. The Gemara says Makom Shenaga Shelo Levarach Lo Yivarach. The minig all over the world, everybody says Haravis Rivenu. The only thing is the minig only has it that you say it B'Tzibur. There's no minig to say it B'Yochid. So the Vilna Gaon holds that's wrong, and it's a minhag amokim that you do say a rabbis rivenu, so you should say it even b'yochid. So some of the later achrayim say no, but it's, since it's totally a minhag, and the minhag never was like the groh, so we should leave it the way it is. We should follow the Ramah. Sefer HaChinuch writes that women are not obligated to hear Parsha Zohar. He thinks that since women are not drafted into the army, the whole purpose of Parsha Zohar is to know everyone that when the time comes they have to join into the army to fight. So the women are not mechuyev in Parsha Zohar because they're not mechuyev to serve in the army. The Minchas Chinuch is ma'orer, maybe it's not so, maybe there should be a mitzvah of Parsha Zohar even for the women. So it's a taina that he has. And some in Germany they say Rav Nosson Adler had the same time, and he introduced this practice that they have the second Kriyas Parsha Zohar, Shabbos Zohar for the women, because he also thought maybe like the Minchas Chinuch. But they quote from the Chazon Ish that he had a lot of brothers, a lot of sisters. They told all the sisters that Mikra Adin, we really paskin like the Sefer HaChinuch. He said that all the Rishonim who discussed the matter all say the same as the Sefer HaChinuch, that the women are not mechuyev in Parsha Zohar any more than in Parshas HaShavua. So if on a normal Shabbos they wouldn't run to shul, so they're not mechuyev to run to shul on Parsha Zohar either. It's the same as a regular Shabbos. That's a shaila there. Rav Shlomo Levilner raises in his tshuvas in the Binyan Shlomo. He was a kohen. He and his brother were both kohanim. So he says he had a chiddush. He thought that you don't draft kohanim into the army. So if you can't draft kohanim into the army, so then they should not be mechuyev in Parsha Zohar, because they don't have to go serve in the army like women. So if the kohen is a balkairi in shul, he can't claim Parsha Zohar to be motzi the ram, because mishenim b'chuy b'dover, and he motzi as a rabbi midei chayvos. So that's what he had in mind to print in his sefer, And then he writes in the Mafteach HaInyonim that his brother told him to leave out that essay because that's ridiculous. But he left in the Mafteach the whole theme of the essay. It's just that his brother helps ridiculous. So what's wrong about it? What exactly is wrong? So that's a shaila. They talk it didn't drift Kohanim into the army. The Mordechai in Gittin brings a hechocha from the Gemara Kiddushin that Kohanim were drafted into the army. The Gemara talks about a Kohen Ma'u B'Yifas Toyer. Only the soldiers are allowed to take a Yifas Toyer. If you're not a soldier in the army, so there's no head to Yifas Toyer. So the Mordechai quotes the Bali Atos, brought that right from the Gemara, that Kohanim were drafted into the army. They're all Kohanim, yeah. They're all Kohanim. Well, if you have no, let's say if you have no choice, if you have, no one else is fighting. So you draft even Ketanim before Bar Mitzvah. The children before Bar Mitzvah were also fighting. Everybody was fighting. The whole discussion that Talmid HaChamim HaPater and younger than 20 HaPater and Bali Aveir HaPater, that means if you can put together an army without these people. That's how the Chazon Ish writes. If you can't put together an army without, so then yeah, everybody has to go into the army. You have no choice. That's a shaila. The Rambam writes in the end of Shemitah the Oival that they don't draft anybody from Shevet Levi. Not because of Kohanim Amuzran Tumas Meis, and when you go into the army you shoot to kill. The Rambam says that Shevet Levi is part of the army. Shevet Levi is supposed to be sitting and learning in the Kohel. The other Rishonim hold it's not true, that there is no such din. The source of the Rambam is the Psukim by Mochemes Midyon. It says that every Shevet supplied 1,000 men. Elef Lamata, Shnei Moser Elef Chalut Tzeit Tzavo. So there are two versions in this Sifrei. How does it add up to Shnei Masarov should be 13,000? So one version is that Shevet Levi didn't participate in the war. That's what the Rambam adopted, that version. And the others say no, that Menashe Ephraim count as one. Menashe Ephraim are counted as two Shvatim, Benegeya to Chalukah Saaretz, Benegeya to the Degolim, but not Benegeya to the draft. For the draft purposes, they counted as one Shevet. And Shevet Levi did give 1,000. So that's a Shaila Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim hold that the Levim were drafted, even the Kohanim were drafted as well. So that's, you can feel a little easier if the Bakari is a Kohen. So, Rabbi Tzal Vilna is Mekel. Okay, tomorrow we should do Parshas HaShavua. Okay. Kala Tarakulak Zephyr Ksudas.